about.
Tell me when you guys are ready.
Yeah, sure. I think we're all
set. You guys need sound levels? You all good?
Just a little bit more.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Okay, we'll dive right in here. Thanks again for taking the time.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
You follow sports?
Oh my God. Sports? I love them.
Who are your favorite teams?
I like smaller teams, like the, not the big leagues. I like the, Long Island Mediums. The Acorn Pine Cones.
I haven't heard
the
that.
The Fire Island Penguins. I like the Cincinnati Thunder Wizards.
You can stop.
The Orlando Blooms.
And now.
Babe, the oven's ready. Chop, chop. Time to get bacon. Daddy want pie.
Our feature presentation.
I can support that so much. Daddy want pie, everybody.
Yeah. No.
Hey, welcome in. Man, it's two ladies against me right now. This is not a comfortable feeling.
And together we make one woman.
One normal-sized human. Yeah. Hey, welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Thursday. First thing I did this morning, probably same as you and many of our listeners, is check to make sure I did not win the Powerball, because then there would have been, of course, no way I would be doing the show, because you would not be hearing my voice at all, probably ever. But that didn't happen. I don't know what went wrong. I felt so good about it.
Did you buy any tickets?
You know what?
Yeah.
That was the fatal flaw in my plan.
I find that happens to a lot of people when they don't win. They're like, oh,
I should have bought a ticket.
Forgot, yeah. I am going to buy some Saturday, and I never buy them.
$675 million is the prediction. Of course, it could go crazier than that.
Oh, it will, because all the people like me, they're like, okay, it's that much, you got to buy some.
It is turning into one of the largest jackpots in North American lottery history. But let me ask you this, Allie.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't it worth your time to buy a ticket to only win $100 million. Why does it take over 500 for you to buy a ticket?
Honestly, I forget there's a lottery until there's a huge number like this. I know it exists. It's there. Mm-hmm. I just don't think about it because I'm not one of those people that buys them on a regular basis. So until it gets to be big news and you see that same reporter at that same convenience store talking to the same people.
Somebody won that one time, right?
I forget there's an actual lottery.
So $500 million wasn't enough to put it on your radar.
Nah.
But $675 or more.
Now I'm in. Now I'm in.
I probably have bought lottery tickets less than 10 times in my whole life.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the allure of that game is very powerful.
Sure.
I mean, for all the people who point out the odds, and I have been one of those in the past, the 1 in 300 million or whatever your chance is to actually win the big jackpot, for all of those people, the counter is always, yeah, but somebody wins.
Right.
I mean, as long as you have, you know, a guy who wins tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars, that's all you need to keep fueling that fire.
Absolutely.
So I've said many times, and maybe you haven't heard this, Allie, that when I do win the lottery, mm-hmm. and maybe I should look into buying a ticket for this weekend too, I won't call or send out an email or announce it on the air. You just won't hear from me again.
Really?
It'll just be Chip will come in and go, I connected to Bean, but there's nobody there. Where's Bean? Has anybody heard from him? And Dave will start calling me and they'll start emailing me, and I just won't respond.
Fingers crossed.
Aw, Chip.
How dare you, Chip? Wait, you want to interview a big lottery winner, Chip? Come on.
Is it you?
Yes, it's me. But I won't give you that satisfaction. Nope. I just will be unavailable, not just that day while I get my affairs in order and contact a financial planner, forever.
You will never talk to anyone you worked with again.
Correct.
You're insane.
That's why.
Like, more than I thought. It's so insane.
That's why I let everybody know ahead of time, because I don't want there to be any
hurt
bad
feelings.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want there to be any surprise. I don't want there to be any panic. And what I want is, you know, this job, there are times where there are unforeseen circumstances. Things can happen in the night. pets can get sick. People can get sick. There could be car problems, weather problems. In my case, equipment problems.
What else? What other kind of problems?
Well, lots of things can go wrong. So what I'm saying is when it gets to be 5:45, people are like, huh, that's so weird. We haven't heard from you.
Right.
What's up with that? Then it gets to be 6:45, 7:45, and at that point, I want it to dawn on one of you, let's check and see if there was a lottery winner.
Right. Well, do we have a number that you would leave for?
Because
I don't want to be checking lottery winners all the time when it could just be like, oh, he's dead.
Right.
That would get boring.
Like if I win $24, yeah, I'm still working,
right.
I guess. Well, what is it? That's a great question. I haven't thought about that. I guess whatever number that I would see turn up that I would feel like, okay, now I'm set. I don't ever need this dog and pony show again, I guess.
But I think Saturdays would qualify.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And last night certainly would have qualified as well.
Okay.
But, would that be – what a way to go.
You're not going.
But if it happened, to just drop out like that, it would be gone. And none of you, and possibly even my wife, would never see me again.
Wow, that got dark. It took a turn.
Her, I might leave a note.
Post it.
Maybe a post it.
That is darling.
But none of the rest of you.
Huh.
So anyway, come on Saturday. Whew. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Beach Show, shall we?
Donald Trump calls it radical Islamic terrorism.
Well, I don't think it's any of that.
Jeez.
Allie, we're going to talk to somebody next hour about a story that you alerted us to yesterday that you're very upset about, and it involves the news in Chicago.
Jeez.
Right?
Unreal. But yet, then I think about what news directors have said to me, and it's so believable. Yeah, it has to do with winter and hats and ladies not looking cute. So don't wear hats in the winter, ladies reporting.
I do feel sometimes, and I know we can't get into this now, we have to save it, but I do feel sometimes that women on the news are ornamental in news directors' minds.
That's crazy.
That perhaps they weren't hired to be reporters.
I don't
hired
know.
Hired to be attractive so that people will watch.
That's
I do get that
nuts.
Impression. That's my hot take.
Okay.
We do have the ultimate prize package once again to Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort in Colorado. We've had those for you every day. We got a fun way to win them this morning in the 6 o'clock hour. We have a listener, Kevin and Bean listener, Alicia, who has asked us to help her with a scientific survey. We are up for the challenge. We will take care of that. Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program today. It's our first visit for 2016. Dr. Drew, as many of us and many of you are obsessed with making a murderer, we will be discussing that today. I think he's against murder, I believe, if I remember correctly what Dr. Drew said.
I think in some cases.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Talking about that. Ralph needs some help from the Kevin and Bean listeners, too, after an unpleasant experience at a Los Angeles Kings game the other night. He wants to talk about what is acceptable visiting fan behavior. Mm-hmm. In Ralph's case, by the way, he was the visiting fan. So he's got some observations to share with us. We got that on the program. And speaking of sports, our friend Jim Rome will be here as well with so much to talk about with the Baseball Hall of Fame announcement yesterday, with the NFL playoffs coming up this weekend, and more. That's all on the way. Plus, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat when we return right after this on the world-famous K-Rock. As we warned
Party
you
machine!
Earlier...
Party machine!
No, we're actually playing that for reals. That is actually authorized. Nope, not the party machine, Ralph. just playing some Guns N' Roses,
machine!
That's all. As we alerted you earlier in the week, Guns N' Roses is going to be one of the most high-profile no-shows in the history of Coachella.
Oh,
yes. So please enjoy.
Awesome.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
They're
if you got your tickets.
We at Coachella apologize. Tonight's performance of Guns N' Roses has been postponed indefinitely. Enjoy your hypothermia.
Why don't they just come out with the announcement now? I don't know. But anyway, congratulations to everybody who got tickets for all the other bands you'll be seeing when they sold out in a few minutes yesterday when Coachella tickets for this April went on sale. It is Thursday morning. Ralph, you didn't win the Powerball either. What's up with that?
I believe no one did, right?
No one won the big jackpot. That's correct,
yeah,
yes.
That's nuts. Although, after hearing the show earlier this morning... Mm-hmm. How much do you want Bean to win the lottery now?
Right, can we buy him tickets?
Let's buy tickets for Bean. How is that the biggest win-win in the history of mankind?
All win-win.
Bean wins the money, and then he just disappears without me having to hire someone?
As you were planning.
It's just the best possible scenario.
So, Ralph,
you
get your feelings hurt a lot, by me especially. There's no part of you that would be offended by being ghosted?
By you?
Yes.
I dream of that. Every time my alarm goes off at 3:30 a.m., I go, maybe today's the day. Maybe it's the day he just disappears. He doesn't show up. And I'm wrong every day. Uh-huh. But you're promising us if you win the lottery, poof.
So Thursdays and Mondays are going to be your new hope day, where you wake up and go, all right, let me check the news, see if anyone won.
Well, ordinarily, I just hope that you fainted and hit your head on a radiator. But right. If this is another option, you know, okay, that doesn't involve your death, I mean, I'll take that. I'm not proud.
So death or wealth, either one is fine.
Whatever it takes.
Okay. All right. Well, good. I think we got a new plan moving forward.
SEAL Team 6, whatever it takes.
All right. It is Thursday. Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. And then we're going to revisit a conversation we had late in the show yesterday with the fascinating and talented and lovely actress Zoe Bell from Hateful Eight, talking about Quentin Tarantino and so much more. That's coming up just after 6. First, though, here's Ralph.
She's so nice.
So nice. So good.
Yeah, she's great. I want to give people a heads up. This Saturday night, it is the return of Hollywood Babylon with me and Kevin Smith. We're going to be on stage at the Improv on Melrose. And it's our first show for 2016. We're looking forward to it. Love to have you come out and join us. You can go to improv.com to hear all the shenanigans between... between a stoner and a drunk. Bringing you all the latest and greatest in entertainment news. Speaking of which, a lot of people this morning asking, are you going to talk about the People's Choice Awards? And I said, no, because of all the BS award shows on television, and don't get me wrong, there are tons of them, People's Choice is the most BS-iest.
Yeah.
Right?
It's pretty bad.
It's the worst. All you need to know,
no reason to exist.
Last night's People's Choice Awards is Best Movie. The award went to Fast and Furious 7.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know about the People's Choice Awards. People are dumbasses. That's what they should call that award show.
I'm getting to the point where I don't think the people should be allowed to elect politicians anymore.
Right? Right. Let alone pick our favorite movies and TV shows.
Exactly.
Favorite female artist? Taylor Swift. That's all you need to know.
Now, hold
about
on a sec. That doesn't mean they don't occasionally get it right.
The People's Choice Awards.
Occasionally they stumble into
total
the right
BS.
Thing.
Yes. Talk about getting things wrong. The greatest thing that ever happened to Miss Columbia was the fact that Steve Harvey mistakenly announced her as Miss Universe?
I believe, yeah.
Miss Universe 2015 is Columbia!
Now she's the most famous woman ever who didn't win that pageant, right?
She's the most famous one ever who even won that pageant. Do you know any former Miss Universes?
All right, that's
I know.
True.
It's just a windfall for her. She has been contacted by Burger King, and they want to do a commercial with her where everybody at the Burger King gets to keep their crown, which would be very exciting. See what they did there?
That's nice.
Corona Beer wants to do a spot with her. She's got a brand new high-powered manager. Word is her dream is to become a Victoria's Secret angel. They're working on that as well.
That's a great idea.
So, come on.
She wins.
She's got everything.
Yeah.
By the way,
Miss Philippines going, hello, hello, winner, real winner here. What do I get?
Nothing. By the way, for folks who, and I know it happened over Christmas vacation, a lot of people didn't watch, plus it's Miss Universe, this Miss Columbia looks so much like Sofia Vergara. It's crazy.
Here's the interesting thing. Her new agent, manager/manager, is also Sofia Vergara's agent.
Good choice.
So he has cornered the market on smoking hot Colombians.
Yeah. I like it. Hold on. Steve Harvey has an update. Okay.
Miss Universe 2015 is Philippines.
Sorry. I thought you said it was Columbia just a few minutes ago.
But Steve.
That's confusing now. How does this pageant even work?
Here's another contract. Did a good job. Well done. Come on back next year. We'll give it another go. Well, programming note tonight. I want to give you the heads up. Jennifer Lopez's new show, Shades of Blue, debuts on NBC.
Daddy
Wacky. She's a busy lady, considering she's still a judge, of course, on American Idol. Last night was the debut of American Idol's final season, and I have to admit, I tuned in just to briefly watch. Got sucked right back in again.
Yeah?
Does it?
Here's the thing. Something about people pursuing their dreams is inherently compelling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I do think they've cut the balls off that show by not showcasing the train wrecks anymore.
Yeah. Well, it got to the point where at first it was the train wrecks and you'd watch and be like, oh, wow, they're bad. That's really good. And then it became so over the top train wrecks where people came in and they just meant to be bad.
Just
to
fart around.
It's better when you're bad and you have no idea.
But that's completely in the control of the producers. They could weed out those. They
Absolutely.
You know, they don't have to put the clowns up there, but put the deluded, insane people who think they really have a shot at this competition.
Yes.
Put them up there.
Agreed.
But now, did they make that change, Ralph, because The Voice was a nicer, more positive environment for singers?
They did get a lot of flack because, oh, you're making fun of these poor people, to which I always said, no one forced these people to show up this audition. But I think maybe they made the change because when Simon Cowell was gone, a lot of the humor of how he would just destroy people also disappeared. Because Harry Connick Jr., Keith Urban's not going to just wreck someone.
Right.
He's going to say, oh, nice try. Thanks so much. I mean, you lose your assassin. I guess you really don't need that anymore.
And Jennifer Lopez really can't make fun of people who can't sing either.
Oh, come on now.
Oh,
I won't have you coming at my J-Lo like that. Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Today's
Seriously.
Birthdays. A lot of people celebrating their birthdays today. A lot of good people. Some of my favorites. Like Nicolas Cage. How great is he?
Not...
Come on!
Well,
Nick Cage?
In the right role, he's a talented actor.
He is very effective when cast properly.
I'm more of a treasure protector.
Jeremy Renner's 45.
I like him.
Brett Dalton from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Oh, that turncoat, that traitor. Ward, he's 34 years old today. Actress Lauren Cohen is 34 as well. Lindsay Fonseca from... Agent Carter. A lot of agent shows featured.
Which one is she? Who's she on that show?
Lindsay was the friend of Agent Carter who was the waitress.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Belle?
Charming, lovely. Yes, beautiful. Yeah. 29 years old today. Katie Couric's 59. David Caruso, the actor, is 60. And Dustin Diamond. Screech himself.
Oh
Screech.
He's living off the state of Wisconsin this week, right?
I believe he is. I think he's still doing time. He's 39 years old today. He stabbed a dude, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right?
I heard. Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
That's an attractive sound right there. That's what you want to wake up to. Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday morning. Lots of rain, of course, in Southern California this week. It is a massive storm that has been hitting much of the West Coast. That means lots of snow in Colorado. They got the skiing down pat there in the great state of Colorado. And we are giving away the ultimate getaway prize package to the beautiful Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort in Colorado. We got a package for you every single day this week here on the show, including right now at 1-800-520-1067. But you will have to earn the tickets. Allie, what are we looking for this time around?
I think you just need to know facts about Colorado, maybe about the state, people that live there, different things that people might not know about Colorado, but somebody will.
So you come up with the trivia question about something to do that is related to, in some way, Colorado.
Yes.
And we have an expert. Believe it or not, you wouldn't think that a guy born and raised and who has lived his entire life in Southern California, our own Rodney Bingenheimer, you wouldn't expect that he would be an expert on Colorado. But he is all about the 303.
I had no idea that he snowboarded almost every weekend.
Yeah, you can't stump Rodney when it comes to Colorado.
He's amazing.
If you've got Colorado trivia and you can get past Rodney, call right now 1-800-520-1067. We'll give you a chance to win a trip, a great skiing and snowboarding weekend at the beautiful Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort in Colorado. That is coming up in about 10 minutes. All right, Robert Federer, who is a journalist in Chicago, wrote a piece that has gotten a lot of national attention this week. It's only the first week in January, but I'm pretty sure we could already declare the dumbest TV executive of the year. He is calling out a man named Dan Salamone. He is the executive producer of a show in Chicago on one of the independent channels, WFLD Channel 32. He put out a memo telling the women who work on Good Day Chicago they were no longer allowed to wear hats during their outdoor live shots this winter. God. Let me let that sink in for a minute and remind you once again, we are talking about Chicago, where it is frequently 0 degrees.
Yeah.
Allie, this when you saw this, as horrified as we all were at the sexism of this, because, by the way, this directive was not issued to male reporters at the station, you weren't surprised.
No.
Tell me why.
Because if viewers had any idea the things that were said to female reporters by producers, by news directors, by GMs about their appearance on a daily basis, they would never watch news again. Things like, oh, maybe a different bra would look better. Oh, wow. Maybe a tighter shirt. Sweeps is coming up. Maybe you could sex it up. These are things that are actually said to women on air.
Remember that that guy a while back who wore the same suit on the news
every day? Yeah, for in a Australia,
year.
Right?
Yeah, right. Because yeah, he wanted, and he was doing it to point out how super critical viewers and bosses are of what women choose to wear on the news, mm-hmm. and nobody noticed that he showed up for work every day in the same suit
for a year.
So it's a little bit of a double standard. Yeah. But anyway, that's what's going on at Good Day Chicago. But it wouldn't be fair to just tell that side of the story from that reporter. Why don't we talk to the man himself, who is the executive producer of Channel 32's Good Day Chicago. Dan Salamone joins us on the phone right now. Hi, Mr. Salamone.
Hey, it's Salamone, okay?
Oh. Salamone, I apologize. I didn't realize that.
Hey, come on now.
Well,
let's get it right. We're going to be in. Let's be journalists here, shall we?
Okay. All right. Well, why don't you be a journalist?
Hey, why don't you be a journalist?
I'm trying. I'm actually asking you an interview question here, sir. Can you explain what led you to this decision to have one dress standard for women, another for men?
Come on now. There wasn't two different standards. Okay. There was one email. I told the babes, excuse me, biddies, that it was important for them to look good on the television, okay? Mm-hmm. Look, we're doing television here. This isn't the New York freaking Times, okay? This is local television news, all right?
Okay, but they're also journalists and reporters, and
okay,
it's also
yeah.
freaking freezing in Chicago in January.
Right, that's the truth. You know what else is the truth? Broads, excuse me, chicks look better with their hair done nice, okay?
Well, your hair.
I see a hat covering up that hair.
Your hair's not going to look nice if you're dead from hypothermia.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because we're asking them to do a stand-up for what? An hour and a half? No, it's like 3 minutes. Just tough it out. Jeez.
Right.
You know, if I get a dame out there, excuse me, if I get some hoochie out there, I want to make sure that she looks good to the home viewers who are watching, trying to get a little eye candy. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe yeah, they should be getting the news. Maybe they should be getting the actual report from where that reporter is from and not worried about what she's looking like with the hat as snow is raining down on her head.
Look, if I wanted news, if I wanted facts, if I wanted someone to do in-depth reporting, I'd hire an ugly broad, okay? Let's face it. Excuse me. A hose beast.
Oh, no. Would you ever hire an ugly broad to do the news?
Of course not. Who does that? Take a look at any local news channel. You think you see a lot of ugly people on your news?
Right, but I mean, isn't
hey,
the
let me tell you, I got two words for you. Fox News. They got 47 blondes there, all identical. All of them hate Obama. Nobody cares because they got great tans and they got great hair. No hats on Fox News, my friend. Come on, nah.
Well, he's not wrong.
That's true. But shouldn't you aspire to something better? I mean, you're representing a great city. Why not hire the best people to do the job to report the news that's important to Channel 32 viewers instead
that's
of wearing...
I'm telling you what's important to Channel 32 viewers, for Christ's sake. You know, if they wanted the news, they'd read the Sun-Times, for God's sake. What they want to do, they want to see a nice-looking toots, excuse me, trick out there doing a little news, standing up there with a nice little microphone, looking trim, looking busty, with some nice freaking hair, okay? Look, I'd have them do it topless if I could.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. What about men, though, covering up their luxurious locks? That doesn't bother you?
Hey, here's a little news flash for you, Jimmy Olsen. Let me tell you something. I don't even have any news reporters out there in the field that are men. How about that? How about now I'm freaking the Gloria Allred, okay? Now I'm Mr. Feminist, because all I hire are broads. Excuse me, split tails.
So no men out there. That's, wow.
No, just girl. I got three broads, pigeons out there, and all they do is they stand there and look good and say, hey, it's cold, isn't it? Look at this snow. Jeez, a moron could do this job. I ask them one thing. What do one thing? Look nice. Okay? Be a yummy mummy. That's all I ask about.
Well, I think...
I don't hire no woofers. I don't hire no men.
I think there's going to continue to be some blowback. I frankly wouldn't be surprised if you lose your job over this,
well,
Mr. Salamone.
Well, I'll tell you something. If I lose my job, you're going to see a lot less attractive women out there. When you're looking at some grizzly chicken out there, excuse me, Philly flange, reporting the news for you in Chicago, don't blame me if you got some butterface telling you how cold it is, okay?
All right.
Come on,
listen.
Now.
Sorry about your Bears, but thanks for joining us on the show here today.
Don't you start with my... I'll kick your ass.
All right, 106.7 K-Rock. That was the Monkees.
Nope.
No.
Listening to Rodney,
21 Pilots.
Rodney in the morning. And
it's
raining. Still, be careful out there. There's puddles.
That's good advice, Rodney, but it's still Kevin and Bean.
Step
and
in a puddle, you get your Cuban heel boots wet.
Well, that may be true. Listen, I'm glad you're here, Rodney, because we're going to have you help us give away a great prize, which is another one of these ultimate getaway prize packages to Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort in Colorado. Listeners are on the line. I understand you are an expert on the state of Colorado.
I know so many things about skiing.
Right.
My good friend Sonny Bono used to love to ski.
Well, that's kind of unfortunate.
He was an expert skier and ski together.
He wasn't
great. He doesn't call me anymore. I wish he would because I'd like to go skiing with him.
I don't think he's going to ski ever
again. All right, Rodney on the Rock Show. Coming up next.
All right, listen, let's take
Brian
some calls.
Brian Wilson.
Nope, not playing Brian Wilson, but we are going to take some calls right now. 1-800-520-1067. You have trivia about the great state of Colorado, and you get past Rodney, you are in the drawing to win the ski package. It's called Colorodney. Hit it, Steve.
Can you stump Colorodney? Can you stump Colorodney? Can you stump Colorodney now?
Yeah, wig wham bam.
Yeah. Colorodney.
I like that. Now, Rodney, I know
Rodney
that you
in the morning show.
Usually you're all about, we're going to start with line four, Chip. Usually you're all about the music, and I know you love the 80s music.
I love the 80s.
I can't remember how you feel about the 90s, though.
Hate the 90s.
Hate the 90s, right. But that's what this is about. I know that you're tempted sometimes to rely on that, but no musical references of the bands that you play K-Rock Sunday nights. This is about Colorado, so listen very carefully to the questions so you don't get confused. That's my point, is don't say things like that, okay?
What?
So listen carefully to the questions so no one gets confused. Let's start with Leslie in Irvine. She's up first on Colorado. Hi, Leslie.
Leslie Gore?
Hi, good morning.
Again, not with us.
It's my party. I'll cry if I want to.
You have a question for Rodney.
All right.
Yes. What is the capital of Colorado?
Berlin. All right. Sex, Ima.
Okay. That is a city, but do you want to take another crack at it? Because as you know, Rodney, Berlin is in Germany, and we're talking about Colorado.
All right. Adam Ant.
Is it Adam Ant, Leslie?
No, it's Denver.
Denver. I thought you might know that one.
All right, John Denver.
All right, Leslie, you're in the drawing.
On my shoulders.
Well done, my dear. Thank you for the call.
Let's go to sunburn because I'm
pale. Let's go to line five, please. You're very pale. You look like you haven't seen the sun in a while, Rodney.
Sun kills.
Moreno Valley. It is Sean. You were on with the great Rodney Bingenheimer from K Rock with a.
K-Rock.
Colorado trivia question. Go ahead.
Hey, Rodney. Is Coors Light brewed in?
Coors Light.
I've seen the commercials, Rodney. That's pretty easy.
Haircut 100.
What?
Haircut 100's not a city in Colorado.
Love Plus One.
No.
Crowded House.
Tell Rodney the answer, Sean.
That would be Golden, Colorado.
Does that sound familiar, Rodney? Golden, Colorado at the end of all those beer commercials?
Peter Cetera.
Okay, you're not. All right, Sean, hang on. You're in the drawing. All right.
All right. What'd I win?
You didn't win anything.
Kaja Goo Goo.
All right. Let's try Jeff in Santa Clarita. He's on line three. You know, Colorado has been the scene of a lot of movies over the years and TV shows, too.
I think love he's got movies.
Great. That's why I thought this might be a good question for you.
Movies.
Jeff, what do you got for Rodney?
Hey, Rodney. What ski resort did the characters from Dumb and Dumber travel to?
Echo and the Bunnymen.
Does that sound to you like a name of a ski resort?
Bunny is a slope, so I think he's kind of... Oh, Rodney.
Jeff,
blinded
that doesn't...
me with science.
That doesn't seem right to me, Jeff. What's the answer?
They travel to Aspen, Colorado.
Aspen?
Science!
Okay, thank you. Jeff, you're in the drawing. Congratulations.
What'd I win?
Rodney, how are you with sports?
I love sports.
Okay, good. Let's go to line two, then.
I fight in the UFC.
You did?
Yes.
I think that's true. You were like 65 when the UFC began.
Right. Not much competition in my class.
Gabriel, Sherman Oaks, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Once again, we're playing for the ultimate getaway prize package to Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort in Colorado. If you can stump Colorodney with Colorado
stump
trivia.
Colorodney.
Hey, Rami. Which professional baseball team did Todd Helton play for?
which professional baseball team?
Out of all the pro baseball teams in Colorado, Roddy, which one do you think it was?
The Escape Club.
There's no, that's not.
Well, a club is a team.
Right.
I feel like he's.
I like this lady.
Okay. I'm just.
Thanks, Tammy Heidi.
It's not Tammy nope. Heidi. Gabriel, is it the Escape Club?
No. It would be the Colorado Rockies.
The Rockies. Does that sound familiar, Roddy?
All right. Creed.
Okay. That's now you confused wow. me. All right. Thank you for the call. Hang on. You're in the drawing. Let's try Sid in Tustin. He's on line
Sid
8.
Sid Vicious?
No.
All right.
Good morning, guys. That'd
lots of people share names, Rodney. That's not who this is, and he's also dead. All right, Sid, you're on with Rodney. Go ahead.
Morning, guys. Hey, what city in Colorado has the largest flat-top mountain?
Largest flat-top mountain?
I don't know this one.
Cindy Lauper.
Is it Cindy Lauper?
No, it's Grand Mesa. You were close, though.
All right.
Sid cares.
All right, Sid. Hang on, and let's try one more. How about line 6, please? We go to Moore Park. It's going to be a listener named Blaze, Rodney.
Blaze. Mm-hmm. All right.
Hey, what's happening, Rodney?
What's happening, Blaze?
I got a wildlife question for you.
All right.
What's the state bird of Colorado?
State bird. Falco. All right, what'd I win?
You didn't win anything.
You should win.
Falco.
Is it Falco, Blaze?
No, it's not. It's the lark bunting.
That's dumb.
Well, it happens to be what the state bird is, so I'm sorry that's the right answer. All right. Got some. Unfortunately, everybody was able to get past you, Rodney, but that means there are a lot of people still in the drawing to win the tickets, including Gabriel, including Jeff, including Leslie, and Sean, and Rob, Blaze, all in the drawing. Only one can win. Who's our winner, Allie McKay?
The winner is Jeff. No, it's Jeff.
Oh.
Yeah.
Go to Jeff and congratulate him. The ultimate getaway prize package to Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort in Colorado. Airfare via Alaska Airlines. Lodging for 3 nights. Lift tickets. Ski rentals. Jeff, way to be.
Thanks, guys.
Coming thank up you for next, playing. The monkeys.
No monkeys, but thanks for playing Call Rodney.
Can you stop Call Rodney now?
Yeah, wigwam bam.
Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show means we talk sports with our friend Jim Rome. That's coming up. Also, Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program for the first time this year. Looking forward to that as well. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hello.
What's going on in the beautiful world of Hollywood today?
Oh, magical, wonderful things. Would you like to hear some?
I would, very much.
Hugh Laurie's coming back to television.
Yes.
That's good news, right?
I missed that bastard.
Well, he was on Veep last season.
Yeah, okay. I didn't miss him for a very long time.
The vice president.
I forgot about that.
He was excellent on that show.
It was sure great to have him back last season on Veep.
Yes.
What's he doing now?
He is going to play a character on Hulu TV. The big star like Hugh Laurie going to a streaming service. This is a major get for Hulu. They have a 2-season, 20-episode order. And it's going to be a character called Eldon Chance that is based on a 2014 bestseller called Chance. It's a story of a San Francisco-based forensic neuropsychiatrist.
All right.
Who reluctantly gets sucked into the violent and dangerous world of mistaken identity, police corruption, and mental illness.
Ooh.
Right?
Wow.
I'm in. This sounds like a laugh riot. Oh, wait a minute. Sounds grim and gritty. I love it. I love Hugh Laurie.
It must be so great for actors to have so many places making original programming now. There are more jobs acting in Hollywood, I feel like, than ever before.
That's for sure. More television. While we're talking about the streaming services, Chelsea Handler, as you know, famously went to... where's she doing her damn
Netflix.
Show? Netflix, yeah. And People Magazine interviewed her about her upcoming... series, and she said the reason she said goodbye to her show on E! Was I was smarter than my show.
Hmm.
Well, that wasn't hard. Everyone pretty much was, weren't they? I was smarter than your show. I never watched it. That's how smart I am. She said it didn't feel interesting to me anymore, but this new documentary series will focus on topics that matter, like racism, drugs, and marriage.
I don't know.
I don't think she's ever been married, right? So she may know about racism and drugs, but I don't know if she knows anything about marriage.
I don't. I never saw much Chelsea Handler.
Nor did I.
My impression of her is that she doesn't have a lot to offer.
No.
Okay.
My impression of her is she's not really as smart as that last show was. I think she's just about as smart as that last show.
Right.
Was.
Allie, your thoughts on Chelsea Handler?
I know that she really takes care of the people around her, and I respect that. Really? I wasn't.
What's in it for me, the viewer, though?
I wasn't a huge fan of the show, but.
But she took care of that midget that she hung out with.
Sure,
sure did. Got that going for her.
I appreciate niceness.
She did buy Chewie a mini horse when the show was canceled.
So everybody wins.
Sorry.
And tragic news, very sad news. Nicholas Caldwell is gone. the tuba of death.
I'm sorry, who?
Nicholas Caldwell.
Was, I would know him best as...
One of the lead singers and founding member of one of my favorite R&B vocal groups, The Whispers.
Oh.
The Whispers.
You know, I didn't even recognize the name, even though yesterday I went down a Whispers rabbit hole when I saw the news and listened to a bunch of Whispers songs.
Whispers.
Still had forgotten Nicholas Caldwell's name.
Huge hits from that band, like And the Beat Goes On.
Yep, great song.
And this one, this is played at every wedding you've ever been to, and you've shaken your ass to it. I guarantee. Give me a little rock steady, Chip. That's not... Here we go.
Break up now.
Nicholas Caldwell's.
That was right in Allie's wheelhouse.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great song.
Bill Withers had been with that band. It would have been the perfect band.
I love Bill Withers.
It would have been Allie's supergroup, man. Her Mount Rushmore.
Nicholas passed away at the age of 71 yesterday, so it's a loss because Rocksteady's my John.
Right?
Right? Hey, why don't we sell for that scientific survey that we've been talking about doing so much of lately?
That's a great idea. A listener named Alicia wrote us a very kind email yesterday. She's a big fan of the show, and she needs our help with the Ketamine Scientific Survey. Now, what this is we take calls on a topic that you can't know about before you call because we're not looking for people with a bias already. We want them to hear the evidence and as it is presented and then rule.
A random sampling, if you will.
Hmm.
Well said, Ralph.
Thank you.
So for this particular scientific survey that Alicia needs our help with, we are looking for ladies and gay men.
All right? So am I.
ladies and gay men, which really are two of the best things in the world. So that's if you'd like to help us out for just a couple of minutes of your time, we'd very much appreciate it. If you are a lady or a gay man, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067.
Kevin from you.
Scientific survey coming up just after 7.
Yes. Come on, fellas. Daddy likey. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor David Caruso is 60 years old today. Katie Couric turns 59. Nicolas Cage, National Treasure.
Former lead singer of The Whispers, just passed away.
National Treasure Protector.
Cage,
they're 52 years old today. Jeremy Renner is 45. Dustin Diamond, Screech himself, 39 years old today. Brett Dalton, you know him as Agent Grant Ward from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He is a bastard. He runs Hydra now, and I hate him. Actress Lauren Cohen is 34, and Lindsay Fonseca from Agent Carter, 29 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Love those killers, man.
Oh,
love them so much.
Too.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. Congratulations to everybody who got Coachella tickets yesterday. It did sell out in, once again, just a few minutes. Hundreds of thousands of people buy those tickets, by the way. The minute they go on sale, it never fails. But we will have You Can Win coming up here very soon on K-Rock, so keep listening for details on that. Ralph, we got an email yesterday from a listener named Alicia who needs our help. Did you see it?
I did.
She is a podcast listener in Bakersfield, California. Let's say hi to her. Hey, Alicia.
Hi.
Hi, Alicia.
You got Ralph. You got Allie. You got me, Bean. Chip is here, too. Kevin is on a plane right now trying to learn how to speak Spanish.
Muy bien.
Of course.
Donde está el biblioteca is where he's at right now. You reached out yesterday. You wanted some help. We do have listeners standing by for the scientific survey, so you're going to be telling us and them what's on your mind.
Well, I think Kylo Ren is hot, and everybody who I have a conversation about it with disagrees with me. Mm. It's usually 50-50, and for some reason, it's mostly guys who are offended by it. I'm not sure why, but I was really curious on what you guys think. There was a caller on Monday when you guys were talking about Star Wars, and she said that there were no hot guys on Star Wars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I totally disagree.
All right. So Kylo Ren, the character you're referring to, for folks who don't recognize the name, is actor Adam Driver, who's mm-hmm. also yeah. he's one of the stars of the TV show Girls, the mm-hmm. Lena Dunham show on HBO. He was in that This Is Where I Leave You movie. And he is an unusual-looking person, I would say. I mean, when I first – he's half gorilla, to be honest.
What?
He's kind of gorilla-esque
he's
in my
not
mind.
At all.
He kind of is. He's just got a big
no.
flat head and balmy ears. I mean, he's a weird-looking dude. They're beautiful.
I think he does have a certain type of attractiveness that some women are attracted to. He's very
tall.
Thin. He's tall, thin, gangly. He's got that sort of what my wife calls dirty, dirty sexy.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of looks like he only bathes maybe every other day, every mm-hmm. third day.
Yeah. I mean, aesthetically, he's no, like, what most women would probably agree on, a Ryan Gosling, a Ryan Reynolds.
He's not classically handsome.
He's not classically, like, his face is not symmetrical, which a lot of hot people, to me, I like that, like an Adrian Brody, like that type of thing where you wouldn't
Adrian
really think.
Adrian Brody?
Yeah, there's something like not quite right with his face. A lot would say his nose. And I think a lot of people think that about Adam Driver, and it makes women and men not think he's attractive. I think he's sexy as hell.
Oh,
Allie's on
board. He is a babe.
Thank
so,
you.
You're welcome.
You said in the email that you started watching Girls just to see Adam Driver.
Yes, I did, and if he leaves that show, I will stop watching.
And so you got a lot of him having sex, a lot of him running around with his mm-hmm. shirt off. So that was perfect for you.
Yeah,
a lot of him crying.
Yeah, he did get very emotional.
He did. Yeah.
Yes, he did. I like that.
Let me ask you this, and then we're going to go to the calls. We got them all lined up here to get the definitive word on whether Adam Driver is attractive or not with the Kevin Bean Scientific Survey. I can see, like, to me, he's not attractive. He's not attractive at all. He's very average.
Daddy no likey?
Daddy no likey.
Oh.
But I will say, and tell me if this is part of your attraction, Alicia, he seems like a very smart guy, and he seems like a very emotionally present guy, if that makes any sense to you. Like, he seems like a real dude.
That's probably the biggest thing, and I don't know if it's just the characters he plays, but that's how he comes off to me.
Okay. All right. Alicia has spoken. Allie, it sounds like you're on board. Ralph, what is your take? Your take is hot or not?
He's not my kind of man.
Okay. Okay.
Let's put it that way. I like a more sort of a guy's guy. He seems a little emo to me.
Okay.
But, you know.
He's not Clooney-esque enough for
not
you.
Not Clooney-esque at all.
Okay.
All right. Let's see what the listeners have to say. It's time for a Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's Scientific Survey.
Now, this is binding, right, Bean?
Yes.
This is a definitive answer on the
right.
on the matter.
It can no longer be discussed after this. If the listeners determine, and we only need the best 3 out of 5, that Adam Driver is attractive, then he just is attractive. It no longer becomes opinion. It's now fact.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we asked for ladies and gays to call, and I think we've got a good mix of both. We start with Monica. She's on line one. She is in Ontario. She is up first. You've heard the evidence, Monica. Adam Driver. From Star Wars The Force Awakens, he plays Kylo Ren. Attractive or not attractive?
I think he's attractive.
Attractive? What do you like about him?
I don't know. I like his hair. I like that he looks a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
His character.
Good enough.
Does have great hair.
We're going to put you down as a yes. Although Kevin was very disappointed that he didn't at least have helmet hair when he takes off his helmet in The Force Awakens.
Yeah, that's dumb.
All right, Monica, thank you for calling. We appreciate it. Let's get our first gay on the line. This is Jose. He's in Long Beach. Jose?
You sound so sensitive when you put it that way, Pete.
Let's get a gay on the line. Thank you for listening, sir. We appreciate it. Adam Driver, you say yay or nay, sir?
He is nay.
Nay.
Nay. Nay. Oh, now tell us why.
He comes off as, like, whiny and emo and
gross. Yeah, he's not attractive.
What are you doing right now, Jose?
Changing the batteries in a flashlight? What's happening there?
I'm sitting in a car. I'm not moving. Okay. I pulled over just for this.
All right. Well, it was very noisy there for a minute. We didn't know what was
All right. That is one nay from Jose.
I don't know if I agree. I think he was up to something.
There's a hand check needed there? Yeah.
I think he enjoyed talking about Adam Driver.
All right.
We are 1-1. Thank you, Jose. Let's go to Whittier, please. Line 3. This is Devorah who joins us. Hi, Devorah. Welcome to the Kevin Abid Show.
Happy New Year, my friend.
And to you, Devorah.
And to you as well. All right. Adam Driver, we're at 1-1. Yay or nay?
Well, I am a lady. I'm wearing my lady shoes, and I say yay.
Yay!
Yay from the lady with the lady shoes.
What do you like best about Adam Driver?
Well, you know, I'm a teacher, and even my students, there's quite a few of my girl students who got the warms for him.
Yep.
Okay.
And it's the big nose. Big noses are sexy on that.
Right? I agree. Oh. There's something about a schnoz. Yes. Right.
Well, you know, it translates to, ladies, so we'll keep it there.
Oh.
All right.
Go on.
Thank you.
Big hand, big nose. You know what they say.
All right, 2-1. Alicia, the nose is the nose attractive to you on him as well?
Yes.
Okay,
and
all right.
It's just unique. It's different.
It is
Let's try Kim. She's up next in L.A. Line 4, please. This could be the definitive vote if she is into Adam Driver. Hi, Kim. You have listened to the evidence so far. What do you roll?
I have to say nay.
Nay.
You're a nay.
Whoa. I'm sorry. I'm with Ralph. I like a manly man.
Yeah.
And he's just not it. Now he's got great eyes and a great chin, but the nose and the upper lip, no.
It's everything in between the eyes and the chin is a fail. Yeah.
And it's also, I'm actually looking online right now at some pictures of him. And it's according to what the photographer's done.
Mm. Okay.
There's a couple of good pictures, but I think that has to do with the photographer.
He's got good angles and he's got bad angles. But you're still not giving him the benefit of the doubt. You're still a no on his attractiveness.
I am still a no.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call.
You're welcome.
All right.
I think he's a little too slender, too. I think he needs a little meat on him. I think he needs to, you know, lift a weight or two.
Uh-huh.
Anyone nervous here at 2-2 about what's going to happen next?
If anyone's nervous, you need to have some professional
help. I'm nervous.
Let's try Robin. She has got the final vote in Fullerton. She is on line 5. Robin, you're going to break some hearts here or make some people very happy based on your ruling on Adam Driver.
100% hot.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, hot.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And tell me how come. What do you like about him?
He looks strong, and he's not whiny. He's tortured in that.
Yes, we want to fix him, Robin.
He's torn, and I want to fix him. I want to hold him and just cradle him.
Me too.
Yes. And his feature, he has a big nose, but that's, I don't know, it's strong. There is something about a nose. There's something about the way he is, and I'm also starting to watch girls because of him.
Yeah. Oh, how about that?
Robin, just remember what happened to the last guy who tried to help him and fix him, okay? The one who wanted to try to cradle him?
Oh,
yeah. Just remember. That's all I'm saying.
I would die in Adam Driver's arms.
Wow. That's an enthusiastic yes.
Could not have been a better fifth vote, that's for sure.
By the way, listener Tom writes in, Kevin and Bean, do not forget that Adam Driver is a former Marine.
Oh,
you guys know that?
Adam Driver.
Yeah, I forgot about that. He is.
All right, Robin, thank you for the call. Yes. We appreciate you listening. Alicia, are you satisfied with the results of the scientific survey?
Yes, so satisfied. Everything Robin said is exactly how I feel.
That's right. Awesome. All right. Well,
now it's fact. Now you can tell people when you have this argument, shut up. It's fact.
Alicia, we really appreciate you listening on the podcast out there in Bakersfield. Thanks for contesting us, and thanks for making us do a scientific survey.
That was Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
Ex-ambassadors on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. By the way, they are playing the Wiltern on March 25th. Tickets are still available. And as we know from seeing them at the Weenie Roast and then Acoustic Christmas, what a great live show those guys put on.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really entertaining. A lot of great stuff on that record, too. Hey, Ralph.
Hey.
You took your daughter to her first ever hockey game the other night.
I did.
I was fascinated by how she liked it in person.
Well, she loves hockey. We watch it at home on television all the time. We got the center ice package from DirecTV.
And she's 5?
She is. She's 5.
All right.
So she sits with me and she watches hockey. She loves it. And so, you know, if she likes it on television, I knew that she would have a ball live, because it really is a much better sport live than it is on television. Even though people complain about it on TV, I like it on TV. It doesn't bother me. But the live experience of a hockey game is just a blast. And so we saw that the Flyers were coming to town to play the Kings on January the 2nd. So I got a bunch of tickets for my wife and my kid and myself and a couple friends. And we all went down to Staples Center, which is a great place to watch hockey. They just got a great venue there. And we were really enjoying ourselves.
So you're raising her as a Flyers fan.
Well, of course.
Even though she's born and raised in Los Angeles, she's going to grow up as a Flyers fan because of Daddy.
Yes.
Okay.
That's how I was raised, too.
What's wrong with you,
man? Yeah, it's sad.
That's why you have children, so you can mold them to do what you want them to do.
She's going to go through some pain.
It's going to be tough for her as a teenager, but go ahead. All right.
So, Santa brought her a Flyers shirt for Christmas. She was thrilled about that, and so she put on her gear, and I put on my Claude Giroux jersey, and my wife put on a Kings jersey. And,
I'm sorry, what? Your hot wife got even hotter in a Kings jersey.
Stupid Kings jersey. Yep. So we go down there, and it's a family outing. We're having a great time. Not a great time. It was 2-0 well into the third period. But a good time was had by most of us. And we're eating, and you're drinking beer and do all the stuff that you do at a hockey game. And then the Flyers finally scored on the power play. And those of us in the crowd that were rooting for the Flyers stood up en masse, as you do, when that red light goes off. And everybody was cheering and applauding. And there was a guy 2 rows in front of me on the aisle who lost his ass that we would have the effrontery to stand up and cheer because our team scored a goal. And he started screaming at guys down towards the plexiglass there, screaming at them, "Sit down! You have no class! You don't do that here! Shut up and sit down, you classless! Boop! 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 You!" And I'm like covering my daughter's ears, and this guy went off.
And they were just cheering. They weren't like, taunting. They weren't doing anything.
They weren't tossing bits of soft pretzel at Bailey. They weren't throwing, you know, hoagies and cheesesteaks onto the ice.
That would be weird.
That'd be really cool, actually. They were doing no sort of belligerent behavior other than screaming and yelling and really whooping up for the fact that we finally put the biscuit in the basket, as they say. And it was stunning to me nobody's happy when your other team scores on you. Nobody is, right? There's a certain amount of head dropping and groaning. And the Flyers had some momentum, and it looked like they maybe could have tied it up. So I could see why this guy wasn't happy that the Flyers scored. But to lose his mind.
Yeah, that's insane.
And to act as if they had stepped over a line which is just the cardinal rule, which is you cannot cheer for your team if you're not the home team, just rocked my world. I couldn't believe how upset he was. And I thought to myself, is that a thing? I don't go to a lot of Kings games. Is that a thing where you're not supposed to be able to cheer for your team?
That's insane. He sounds a little not well in the head.
And were they too happy? Were they not just golf clapping? Were they too excited? I mean, so it made me think, like, what are the rules? What's the parameters that you have to stay within if you are a fan of the visiting team? What are you allowed and not allowed to get away with?
Yeah, that's it. That's interesting. We will take calls on that, by the way, if you've got some rules in your own mind of what you think is and is not acceptable behavior for fans of the visiting team. We want you to call us at 1-800-520-1067. You can always text the Kevin and Bean Show, too, at the number 2, KROQ. So in his mind, Ralph, we're just guessing, but in his mind, he would like to see 100% Kings fans in the arena. The only people who should be allowed to go to a game are people who are going to root for the home team, in this guy's mind, it sounds like.
Or even weirder, I think, is what he thinks, is that those who do attend to watch the other team play need to sit in silence regardless
insane
of the outcome.
That's
what I think he actually felt.
I think that's where he was going. But especially in a city like L.A. or in New York or places where people move to, they are not all from Los Angeles. That's where you get all the different fans, and you get it makes it actually really fun for me when there's different fans from it. You can just kind of jab at them, have a little fun.
Yes,
it can go 0 to 100 real quick, but it sounds like he's nuts.
As a Philadelphia fan, there's not much that I don't think you can not do.
Yeah,
as a fan.
Yeah, I feel that. Okay,
and I think part of the fun is, And I've been to many sporting events in Philadelphia when I go there. Part of the fun of having the opposing team is they mock you a little bit
Absolutely.
When they do well, and you mock them a little bit when yeah. things go your way. And it's that byplay in the stands that adds an element of fun and
Absolutely.
Excitement to the live event,
Absolutely,
in my opinion. So for this guy to be so upset, especially when it was the Kings were still in the lead. It wasn't like it was a blowout or something, and these guys were just mocking them. It was simply that they were celebrating a goal being scored. And I felt bad because I was behind him, so he wasn't really directing it to me. But I am the a-hole during the game who's going, "Go Wayne!" When Simmons has the puck, you know, I'm screaming for individual players.
Right.
And I'm very vocal in a sea of silence when my team is doing well and when I'm the visitors. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should just be quiet until they score and then maybe just text my joy. Maybe that's what the guy wanted me to do. Just hold up a sign with a smiley emoticon on it or something. I didn't know what he wanted.
Let's take Mark's call real Oh, that's the wrong button again.
Oh.
Let's take Mark's call in Chino Line 2, please, and then we've got some more calls we'll get to right after the break. But I want Mark to have first word up here on what's fan behavior. What should the fan behavior be if you are in the visiting section? I guess that's the question we're asking. Mark, you heard Ralph's experience at Staples Center the other night. What say you?
Yeah, I just feel like you get to a point where I think what Ralph is describing, if you're able to actually jaw back and forth a little bit, playful banter, that's great. The problem is that doesn't exist anymore. And you got people that are just insane, take it too far, have too much to drink, want to fight. So I've just basically adopted the mentality now of I'm going there as though I'm a guest in someone else's home. I'm a San Francisco Giants fan. If I go to Dodger Stadium, I'm going to mind my manners so I don't get killed in the parking lot.
Well,
I'm
that's just going to be polite.
Yeah, that I mean, the Dodgers-Giants thing has kind of really brought this exact point that Ralph is making into sharp focus, which is it's gotten so out of control for so many people at sporting events. And as Allie likes to point out, it's as great as sports are and as much as we love sports, it's just a game.
It's a game. Calm down, people.
Right.
You're
it's
insane.
And it's I think the home crowds have gotten less and less tolerant, too.
Yeah.
I agree.
I went to the Meadowlands and watched a Jets-Pats game, and I don't know if I was just lucky in the section I was in. We were having the best time just going back and forth, jabbing, buying each other beer, having the greatest time. That was about 10 years ago. If I went now, I don't think it would be the same. People have gotten crazy.
Thank you for the call, by the way, Mark. We really appreciate you listening. Allie, if you were going to a Patriots game in New York now, would you still wear a Patriots jersey?
Absolutely.
And you just take your chances.
Well, I'm a girl.
A Kevlar jersey, but a jersey nonetheless.
No, I would, but I wouldn't. I wouldn't be blatant about it and stupid about it.
Right.
I know where the line is. People don't anymore. That's the problem.
Right. All right. Great topic. We had a lot of calls. You hang on, Garrett and Liz and Matt and a bunch of others. 1-800-520-1067. What do you say? What's allowed and what's not allowed now when you go to a sporting event and you're not rooting for the home team? Your call's next on K-Rock. What are the rules, the do's and don'ts for fans who are not there at the sporting event rooting for the home team? Ralph was telling us a story about he and his family going as Flyers fans to see the Kings. And you were surprised a little bit by some of the behavior from Kings fans, right, Ralph?
I was just their behavior was fine. It wasn't like the Kings fans were badly behaved, but I was surprised by the outrage that some Kings fans had that we had the gall to celebrate when the Flyers scored their one and only goal in that game. It was inexplicable to me, especially as a Philadelphia fan where, let's face it, I mean, you go after the other guy, and he goes after you, and that's part of the...
With a tire iron, usually, right?
Yeah, or a battery or a snowball or whatever you have available.
Scott writes in from Laverne, I will not go to an Angels game when they are playing Red Sox or mm-hmm. Yankees because the visiting fans tend to outnumber the home fans, and it just sucks to be there. Perhaps that is what has led some home fans to behave in the manner that the Kings fans encountered by Ralph did, but that does not make it right. Go Kings, go, says Scott. All right, let's take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. Daniel will be up first. He's in Downey. He's on line 7. He wants to weigh in on this. Hey, Daniel, thanks for hanging on. We appreciate it, man. What do you got to say for it?
Well, I just want to say, first of all, I'm a diehard Kings fan, have been since 82, and I want to say that that's not typical behavior of a true hockey fan. Hockey fans are more classy than that, and they don't normally act like that. I think this guy is a bandwagon fan, maybe a transplant from Dodger Stadium, because that's how they tend to act there. But hockey fans don't normally act like this.
So in other words, hockey fans usually are into a friendly rivalry among the other fans in the stand.
A little more back and forth.
It's the only sport where the two guys can beat the crap out of each other on the ice and buy each other a beer afterwards. I mean, that's just the culture.
All right, so that guy that Ralph saw was just a dick then.
Yeah, pretty much in my book, yeah.
Okay.
You know, us Kings fans have been through a lot, and we know how to take it when the other team scores. We've been through a lot of bad years.
Yeah, indeed. All right,
look,
Daniel,
everybody
thanks for the
does.
Call.
It's an 80 game season. If you're a fan of any team, you're going to get your team's going to be scored on, and you're going to have to sit through it, and that's part of the deal, you know.
Right. Let's go to Matt. He's line four up next in Long Beach on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Matt. Welcome to the program. What's going on, man?
Hey guys. Morning. So, look, here's the unwritten rule. Been a season ticket holder for a long time. If your boy Wayne Simmons over there scores a goal, you stand up, you clap, you cheer. Then you sit back down. That's acceptable behavior.
What's the time limit on that stand? How long can
and
I stand?
And how many claps?
Yeah.
You can stand up until the play resumes, basically. They drop the puck to the face-off center ice. You sit back down. That's basically your time limit.
Can you yell? Are you allowed to say anything?
Oh, yeah, and the bantering is cool. Yeah, absolutely. But as soon as you guys start cursing at each other, that's where you got to draw the line. Drop an F-bomb. That's like the last caller said, it's a classic game. Well, classy people anyway, and that's just not how you should behave. The conclusion is appropriate. That guy is just a D.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for that opinion. Let's try Jeremy Riverside up next, line two on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey,
how's it going, guys?
Going great, man. What do you got?
You know what? I'm a Manchester United soccer supporter fan, and I went to go see them at the Galaxy at the Rose Bowl, and it was like stepping on eggshells, with the fans knowing that I was supporting the visiting team. It was like, they couldn't score, they were booing, the opposite team. I feel it's just like, it's all a mixture. I say majority of LA sports fans are just poor sports when the other team scores. I've seen it at Dodger games, Laker games, all over. It's just, it's like, you have to show respect. If not, they try to like roll over you and, I think it's pathetic, Like, come on, you're probably from another state, another country. You want to see the team that you barely get to see, and he treats you like that? Come on. It's not right.
I want to point out, though, Jeremy, I don't know what your experience has been seeing games around the country, but you've drawn some conclusions about Los Angeles fans. Is that your only experience of seeing games here?
No, I've seen games in, like, other states and stuff like that, but if you're supporting us, an out-of-state team, out-of-country team, and if their home team's not doing too well, you basically get ridiculed in every way. Hmm. It's just, it's just not right. Come on, we come out there, we show respect. When you guys score, we're not booing or, none of that stuff. But all of a sudden, when the opposite team wins, it's like you're stepping on eggshells with them,
Gotcha. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Do you see much difference in Southern California fans versus other fans around the country?
I think around the country, and I've gone to a lot of different sporting events, there's a lot more give and take, and there's a lot more back and forth. But again, people take it way too far now. It's the culture has changed recently, and it's going in a bad direction. But
if you can't, of America.
Absolutely. But if you can't go to a game and have fun, stand up and cheer for your team that you're rooting for, and someone's going to scream at you, come on.
Yeah, I think short of profanity or violence, almost anything goes.
Absolutely.
I mean, there was Flyers fans there, and they bought tickets as a group or whatever, and they came out, and they were in the upper seats. But periodically, they would start the, let's go Flyers. They would start that, and people would go crazy.
That's insane.
Shut up. But it's like, it's a small little voice coming from the top of the arena, and that's not bothering anyone.
However, next year, under President Trump, every one of those games will be armed. So
it'll
be fine.
It will be great.
All right, we'll be right back. Dr. Drew Pinsky with his weekly visit on the Kevin and Bean Show coming up just after 9 o'clock this morning. We're going to try to get him to confess that he killed that woman that came out, took some pictures of his truck on the auto yard there.
Finally.
It's not him.
It's about time. Well, it sounds
like Stephen Avery, but...
A lot of evidence against Dr. Drew, if you want my opinion.
Yep.
Talk making a murderer with him. Also, Jim Rome just after 8. Ralph is here now. Time for the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Krista DeFede writes, I want to be the tomato in a Ralph Garman Kevin Smith sandwich.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, here's your chance, Krista. We're going to do Hollywood Babylon this Saturday night at the Improv on Melrose. It's the first one for 2016. We're really looking forward to it. Love to have you come out and join us. You can go to improv.com and click on Hollywood on the Hollywood Club and get your tickets there. Come on out and see us. We have a really good time.
Nope.
And maybe you can be in our sandwich. I wrote it would have to be a ham and cheese sandwich, I think, with me and Kevin Smith, don't you think?
Who's the ham?
That'd be Smith. I think I got to be the cheese.
Well, you know the old expression.
Nope.
Come on. I can be cheesy with the best of them. George Takei's. Takei? Takei? I always get it wrong.
Let's call the whole thing off.
George.
I mean.
Takei's Broadway musical is closing. Allegiance is and was its name. And it was based on his experiences with his family during World War II. They were put in an internment camp.
He was?
In California, yeah.
I didn't know that.
During the Second World War.
Do you joke, Allie? Because
is that like a huge story?
Well, there's never been an interview where he hasn't brought it up.
He does bring it up. And so they wrote a musical about it. And its final performance will be February the 14th. It's only given 37 previews and 113 regular performances. So, not doing gangbusters business on Broadway.
Oh, my.
Do we have one of the songs from George's musical? What, that sort of country-sounding song that George did?
Remember that song? I don't have that.
I think we do have it over there. I think Kevin knows where it is, and sadly he's harassing a soccer player right now, so we can't have that. But. This is good news for many of us. Ronda Rousey, apparently, will be wearing nothing but body paint in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue next month. Sports Illustrated hasn't said so much, but an editor teased her Instagram followers with a snapshot of an identified but very toned backside, hashtagged with body paint. And so it looks like it's going to be her.
I was not angry at that photo.
No, it's nothing to be upset about. So we'll find out for sure later this month when the legendary swimsuit annual issue hits the stands from Sports Illustrated. But I'm looking forward to that.
What are we hearing about whether she is going to be healthy enough for a rematch this summer? Is that still likely as far as you guys have heard?
God, I feel like there was news yesterday about her taking a longer break, but I didn't click on it.
If you were Holly,
is that helpful?
If you were Holly Holm, would you want to be sitting out all this time waiting for Ronda again, or would you want to fight somebody else before you get to Ronda?
Holly Holm will fight before she fights Ronda again. It was announced yesterday by Dana White.
All right.
That's what I should have clicked on.
There you go. From Ronda Ruffey. Ronda Ruffey, bros.
Ronda Ruffey would know, wouldn't she?
That's right. And this is sad. Yesterday, the L.A. District Attorney said they're not going to file criminal charges against Bill Cosby either. So that's bad news.
This was that woman who woke up with him slobbering all over her at the Playboy Mansion, right?
Right.
That was that case, yeah.
DA's office said they could not file charges because the statute of limitations had expired in multiple cases. They also considered filing a felony charge of sexual battery by restraint, but there was insufficient evidence to support it. So it looks like Bill will just have to appear in court later this month to face the charge of aggravated indecent assault from the 2004 incident in Pennsylvania. He is currently out of jail on $1 million bail. But we'll have to follow that closely.
We've talked about this before, and I'm in no way blaming the victims here, but I hope that the press that this story is getting will encourage more women to come forward in a more timely fashion.
Yes.
So that these cases don't run out of the statute of limitations before the person who did the thing could be prosecuted.
Right. And what could be a better tribute to a guy like Lemmy from Motorhead than to have a heavy metal named after him? Right?
Right.
There are four new heavy metals that have been discovered that are going to be placed on the periodic table of the elements. Oh, I wish Kevin was here. Boy, this would be a great opportunity to find out what Kevin knows about the periodic chart. But sadly, he isn't. So there has been a petition put up on change.org to name one of them Lemmium.
I love it.
Lemmium.
Why not?
Absolutely.
In honor of the late Motorhead frontman. Lemmy. 75,000 supporters are needed to get this to the next level, and as of last night, there were about 59,000 names on the petition. So if you think this is cool, and come on, you know it is, go to change.org and find that petition and sign up. I think it's a fitting tribute to Lemmy to have a heavy metal named after him.
It's science.
So much.
Lemmium. Lemmium.
Right?
Lemmium.
And then someone needs to build a guitar out of Lemmium.
Right, that you can't lift. It's too heavy.
But it rocks so hard.
It rocked your face off. And while we're talking about heavy music, how about the Whispers, huh? The Whispers. All right, maybe you don't know who they are, but they were an R&B vocal group in the 80s that had a ton of hits. Their founding member, Nicholas Caldwell, has passed away. I thought there would be a trombone or something there, but... There we go. He was the founding member. They had a ton of hits, including smash hits like And the Beat Goes On.
And the Beat Goes On. Sorry, just got so excited.
Is that some of Nicholas Caldwell's vocals stripped down like they do with Freddie Mercury? I sure hope not, because then I'm glad he's dead, if that's the case. Rocksteady was probably their biggest smash hit. You know it. Dave said to me, I know that song. I love that song. I have no idea who the Whispers were. That's why we're here, people. Not just to entertain, but to educate. Here's the Whispers hit, Rocksteady.
Can we begin to rock?
Yeah.
I think it's hot. It's
right?
Hot. It's hot. It's hot. It's hot.
It's tight.
It's tight. It's a hit, man,
it's
and I like it.
It's hot and
I'm
going to
go get it. That's a keeper right there.
Go get it, Dave. Today's celebrity birthdays. Lindsay Fonseca is 29 years old today. Lauren Cohen turns 34. Brett Dalton, Agent Grant Ward from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Traitor.
The traitor. Hydra. Hail Hydra. Bastard. He's 34. Dustin Diamond, Screech, 39. Jeremy Renner's 45. Nicolas Cage is 52. Katie Couric is 59. And actor David Caruso celebrates a birthday today. 60 candles on his birthday cake. I guess you could say he's flaming. He's flaming?
I love it so much, though. Just
I'm Ralph Garman on Walker Showbiz Beat.
One of my all-time favorite K-Rock covers right there. No Doubt doing Talk Talk, It's My Life. Thursday morning means we check in with our friend Jim Rome. Hear him while you can, 9 to noon on AM 980, The Beast. Hey, Mr. Rome, how are you, sir? Happy New Year.
Kevin Bean, wait, where's Kevin?
Well, funny you should ask, because we're now day four of a new work year. He's off. He's taking some well-deserved vacation time, Jim.
Oh, man. And I catch so much heat for all the vacation I take. That dude didn't get through the first week of the year.
No.
No, he didn't.
He was complaining Monday.
Yeah, he came in Monday.
How did he pull that off?
He's like, I'm exhausted. I've got to get some time off. So we'll have to muddle through without the monkey here, Jim. But how are you, man? Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Everything is great on this end. I feel awesome. Bean, how about you?
Doing fine. Very excited, obviously, about the NFL playoffs, week one, happening this weekend. And I have to ask, and I was checking with some of my friends yesterday. I apparently am alone on this, Jim, but I want to get your take. I know that football players are tough and they play in all kinds of crazy bad weather. I just feel like there's got to be a medical risk playing in 0 degrees. Men running around for 4 hours outside in 0 degrees, as the Vikings and Seahawks will on Sunday, doesn't seem sound or safe to me. Am I wrong?
You're wrong. You're wrong. It sounds awesome to me. It sounds like the best thing ever. Like, these guys assume such a crazy risk when they go out there and they run around and slam into each other at 72 degrees. Why not just jack this thing up completely and make it minus 25? They know what they signed up for. I think it's absolutely awesome. Just imagine coaches wearing head socks, players huddled around sideline heaters like they're barrel fires, the old referees unable to announce penalties because their grills are frozen shut. And the best part is, you know, there's always a couple of badasses who are going to go sleeveless just to show how tough they are. You know, dudes who are like, cold out, guns out. I absolutely love it. So to answer the question, Bean, you are wrong. It's going to be very cool.
It is going to be one of the 10 coldest NFL games in history on Sunday. And since we're talking about the Seahawks, they just thumped the Vikings about a month ago and badly. It's going to be a little tougher this time around now that Minnesota has seen what Seattle has to offer, though, right?
No, probably not. Probably not. I love Seattle. I love Seattle right now. It's kind of a weird thing with the NFL playoffs that all four of the games in the opening weekend, the road team is favored, but Seattle is dangerous. They have never looked better to me. I'm going to predict a big win for Seattle. And I'm going to guarantee that every last one of them on both sides will be miserable when the temperatures hit a high of 1 degree.
Yes.
I love Seattle in this game.
All right. Speaking of road teams, the Packers, a few weeks ago, we might have thought it was just another typical Green Bay season. They did not win their division this year for the first time in a long time. And they're going into Washington, and they're favored, but the Redskins have been looking really good.
Yeah, Green Bay's not in a good place. In fact, it wasn't even as recently as a couple of weeks. This has been going on for quite some time. They fire out 6-0. We're talking about how they might be the one to run the table. Things have never been better. They are jacked up. Their offensive line is bad. Defensively, they can't stop anybody. And the Redskins are red hot. I mean, I cannot believe that Green Bay goes to Washington as a favorite. The Skins are playing extremely well. The Packers are a mess. I never thought I'd say it, but I think Kirk Cousins is going to get over on Aaron Rodgers. That's one of those road teams that I do not like.
Aaron Rodgers, though, even though he's had some troubles this season, is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And I feel like with Tom Brady, you can never count him out until the final buzzer.
You know, I used to think that way. I honestly thought that way. He is one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen, and the guy's unbelievable. I think he's still the best quarterback in the NFL, but the guy can't do it himself. They can't protect him. I mean, the offensive line is porous. It's a sieve. They can't run the ball effectively. Defensively, they can't do what they got to do. I mean, as good as this guy is, he can't play the game lying on his back. So I can no longer say as long as he's out there, they'll be fine. I really think they're going to lose to Washington.
We're on with our friend Jim Rome from AM 980 KFWB The Beast right now, talking sports. Let's talk about the Saturday games for a minute. Pittsburgh limped into the playoffs. How do you like them against Cincinnati?
I don't. Not very much. I mean, I kind of make the same argument about Ben Roethlisberger. He's been there before. He knows how to win these games. There's just something about that guy. You don't bet against him in the postseason, but they've got the same deal. They're banged up. They can't run the ball very effectively right now. And there's this thing, A.J. McCarron, Bengals quarterback, who had a great college career. He may not be Andy Dalton, but he's kind of got this it. I had the guy on my radio program yesterday. He's loose. He's confident. I think the Bengals finally win a playoff game, and if he gets it and Dalton doesn't, it's going to make it even more intriguing. So that whole thing about Pittsburgh's the one team you don't want to play, actually you do want to play them right now. I'm taking the Bengals.
I lost track. How long has it been since the Bengals have won a playoff game? Decades, right?
Since probably before you were born.
Okay. All right.
How about that?
And the fourth game of the weekend is the one that I think will be the biggest blowout. Am I wrong? Kansas City all over Houston.
You know, I don't know. I don't know that's going to be the biggest blowout, but they've won 10 straight. They're red hot right now. I like them. I don't think any of these games are going to be blowouts per se. I mean, the thing about it is you've got all the road teams that are favored, and that's not supposed to happen. If you win your division, they reward you with a home game, and you're supposed to win. But at the same time, in terms of a blowout, I think this is what the NFL wants. More than anything else, you've got a toss-up in every single game. They've got their parity, and these games are – I mean, you got to play them. You don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to say – it's not going to be a blowout, but I do like Kansas City.
So excited for this weekend. All right, we got to change gears for just a second, Jim, because yesterday was a big day for baseball fans, and I know we're a long way from opening day, but the Hall of Fame announcement came out yesterday. I don't think anyone could argue with both of the choices, but there's a little bit of some butthurt Dodgers fans thinking about Mike Piazza going into the Hall of Fame as a Met. Can you explain a little bit of the history of how we went so bad with Mike Piazza?
You know, I can remember the day it happened. I used to do my show, and Mike was always good about coming on the program, and I remember when that trade went down, how unbelievable that was. It was such a rare day in L.A., and I can remember being on the air and just saying over and over again, you don't trade a Hall of Famer. You do not trade a Hall of Famer. Who trades a Hall of Famer in the prime of his career? But, you know, it wasn't meant to be. They moved him out. He went to New York. Hey, if I'm a Dodger fan, I'm butthurt, too. I mean, that to me, you've got the greatest offensive catcher of all time, one of the three or four greatest catchers of all time. You don't want to see that guy going to the Hall of Fame as anything other than a Dodger. They drafted him in the 62nd round. So I could see why he was put off, and I could see why he might not rep them or wear that lid. That's one that you can never get back. And I'll stand by to this day, you do not trade Hall of Famers.
Look, I don't blame Mike Piazza for going in as a Met, though. I mean, he certainly spent 8 years there and pretty successful years with New York. But I don't like there being bad blood with him and the Dodgers. And, Allie, you were saying earlier that he kind of dragged Vin Scully into it somehow.
Yeah,
too.
You write a book. You talk about how Vin was kind of instrumental on poisoning Dodger fans against you. No. I stand with Vin.
Good night. I don't know. I don't know. Mike is not one of those guys who airs a lot of dirty laundry, and there was always that sense. I think that he had that sense because as popular as Mike Piazza was, you know who the most popular L.A. Dodger ever is? Bar none, Vin.
Yeah.
Vin. Mm-hmm. And I can't say, I've got no knowledge of this, and I can't say that Vin had it in for Mike, but I can say that I think that Mike thought that Vin had it in for him. Now, could Vin Scully get Mike Piazza traded? Probably not. But if Mike's got that in the back of his head that the guy didn't have his back, I could see where Mike might be a little put off by that. I mean, Vin is the ultimate Dodger.
Right, exactly, yeah. And by the way, I've never heard Vin say a bad thing about anyone.
No. And again, I'm not exactly sure where that comes from. But again, I'm not walking around in Mike Piazza's shoes either. And Mike's not a guy to air a lot of dirty laundry. Like I said, it's really a weird and unique thing. But that certainly is not the first time this has come up. And, you know, Mike, if that's what Mike thinks and that's the way Mike feels, I'm not talking him off that point. Right.
But I think as adults now, a lot of time has passed. If the Dodgers said to him, hey, we want to retire your jersey, how about you come out one game, we honor you? Do you think there's a chance in hell he'd say yes?
Yeah, I think so. I think the time heals almost every single wound. I mean, Mike had some amazing years here in L.A. Yeah. Mike was one of the most popular
players
I've ever seen.
Too?
Yeah, yes. But, I mean, let's not forget, Wayne Gretzky once left this town. Joe Montana did not end his career with San Francisco. Things do not always end well, and guys do not always finish where they start. But I think time heals a lot of wounds, most wounds.
And I think you're right, and I think he comes back as a Hall of Famer, too. Yeah. And that's kind of he kind of gets the last word on that. All right, last question, and it also has to do with the Hall of Fame. And I have to know, Ken Griffey is going in as the first player to wear a Mariners hat. Probably the most popular sports figure in the history of Seattle. Who are help me understand the justification for three of the sports writers to not vote for him as a first ballot Hall of Famer? I can't figure that one out, Jim.
You know that I'm not so wound up about this like a lot of people are. You know, I help you understand that there's always going to be a few wise ass trolls or dudes who are so old they can barely read and write. They're going to withhold their votes. But understand this. I mean, the guy got 99.3% of the votes. Yeah. That's the highest percentage ever. That's still not good enough. Babe Ruth didn't get 100. Hank Aaron didn't get 100. Nolan Ryan didn't get 100. Can I tell you, Mike Trout could spend the rest of his career batting 1,000 and never make out, and he's not getting 100. Yeah. No one's getting 100.
Yeah,
I'm 100% sure that nobody's getting 100.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother you, Ellie.
It doesn't.
You shouldn't be writing about baseball if you can't look at that career and go, yeah, Hall of Fame first ballot. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But people are losing their minds over this.
That's
what
I'm saying.
We got to find these three guys and find out why. Calm down. Get him, Allie.
Sick of Allie.
Listen, I'm just upset we're not going to talk about Urlacher's hair because that is the biggest sports story of the decade.
Yeah, to be honest, it really was. It's not even the biggest story of the year. It's the biggest story of the decade. She's right again. She really
Thank you, Jim.
It was fairly shocking. We weren't sure it was really him at first until we got some facial recognition software to confirm that the bald guy we thought we knew as Urlacher was, in fact, this new guy with hair. But, yeah,
can I tell you, really, who cares? I mean, the guy is a bald guy Hall of Fame. He looks badass. But look what town we live in and work in. Look around you. People will inject anything into their face to look better. People will get their beaks busted and reshaped. They do all sorts of unthinkable things to their anatomy. Dude wants a little lettuce. What's the big deal? Let him.
3 full hours of Jim Rome this morning.
I got you, Brian.
980 The Beast. Jim, we love you, brother. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much for the time.
Bye, guys. Be good.
All right. We are opening up the phone lines right now for Kevin Bean's What's Good. This is a feature that we love to do because it gives us a chance to include your phone calls on things we miss, things we should be talking about, things in the news, things you're watching on TV, things that are awesome, and you keep going, why won't Kevin and Bean talk about this? Or maybe you've got something awesome going on in your life, or you've got a question, or you've got a problem, whatever you want. Phone lines are wide open for you at 1-800-520-1067. Why be listening to the show when you can be on the show? We'll take your calls next for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. 1-800-520-1067. Time for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
What's good indeed? By the way, if you saw the story going around yesterday about that fan who bought tickets for Kobe Bryant's last game via StubHub and then had the tickets pulled away from him by StubHub, you got angry if you saw that story yesterday. You really got mad about them coming down on him. Well, he gets the last laugh. Not only did he get his tickets from somewhere else, but he is smearing StubHub all over the world. And we're going to help him do that as we talk to the man himself who bought those tickets coming up in just a couple of minutes. First, though, we're taking your calls, 1-800-520-1067. Wow, we got some interesting ones here. Let's start with Chris in Hollywood. He's on line two, up first on Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Hi, Chris. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the show. What's happening, man?
So I don't know if you guys have heard, I was on Spotify the other day, and there's actual playlists
made by Star Wars. I don't know if it's Lucasfilm or Disney, but they're official, and there's a playlist for every single character.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah, and, like, a lot of them are super, super spot on, and it's great. Like, Rey's is all, like, powerful female leads, and, like, Han Solo's is all, like, 70s rock. yeah. And my favorite is like Darth Maul and Boba Fett. Like Darth Maul is all death metal, and Boba Fett is all like punk.
That is actually very funny. Now, do you think that was official? You think like somebody at Disney came up with that idea as just another way to promote the Star Wars movie?
Yeah, it was a way of promotionizing on Spotify because they were advertised for a while.
That's pretty like smart. Official. Disney did not miss many opportunities or many ways to advertise that this movie was coming, did they?
Yeah, it's great.
All right, man.
Like, not exactly spot on. Like, I don't really understand Mace Windu. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I don't know enough about Mace Windu to know what kind of music he would be listening to, but yeah. I think that's a cool idea. I appreciate the call. Thanks so much. Let's go to, this is interesting. Let's go to another Chris. This one is in Riverside. He's on line 6. Not sure if we're going to be able to answer Chris's question, but we'll try. Chris, what's good?
What's good is I want to know what Fletcher from Pennywise is doing because that dude is always doing something crazy. And the last thing I heard, the last rumor, was that he got beat up by an elephant.
I wouldn't doubt that.
Let's go to our punk rock correspondent, K-Rock's Chip. You would know. What's Fletcher been up to lately?
It's been quiet lately, but that story he's talking about, I think they were doing a show in Russia, and they went to a zoo, and he had climbed into a cage with an elephant. The elephant, like, smacked him around. That happened a couple of years ago.
Wow.
But I remember that story. I think we talked to him about it.
What is up with that dude?
He's amazing.
Exactly. What's he doing this week? Like, yes. There's something crazy that he did last night that nobody's talking about that we need to know.
Yep. I honestly, you're right. There needs to be a Fletcher cam, like a full-time way that we can keep track on what that dude is up to.
At the very least, he needs to blog, right?
Yes.
A Fletcher Tumblr.
Periscope.
That's way too technical for him.
If I remember just, it's all coming back to me now. Chip, am I wrong? Fletcher is a guy who vomited all over Dr. Drew on Loveline one night, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he's also the guy who one year back when we used to do Acoustic Christmas at the Gibson, maybe it was even in the Universal days, he stole a golf cart?
No, he stole the tramp.
Stole the tour tramp. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Can I tell you something funny? I was actually with him when we stole the tramp.
No! That's awesome.
I was actually the guy who stole the tram with him.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, then you should call him. Find out what he's been up to and get back to us. Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate
that. Right now.
All right, let's go to Delaware and talk to Christine.
Hi.
Christina, I guess. You're calling
us Christina.
From Delaware now. Is this some sort of a tax scam or something like that? You've incorporated yourself, so you don't have to pay
any. Exactly. I'm just saving on taxes here. Yeah.
What the hell is going on in Delaware? Why are you calling us?
I just wanted to say hi. I've been listening to you guys forever in the podcast, and I was actually able to get through, so I just wanted to say hi.
Did you?
Delaware, yep.
Hi.
Eagles, Philadelphia.
I mean, Delaware.
Did you used to live in Southern California and move to Delaware?
Nope. I just found you guys on iTunes.
How? Why? Yeah.
Yeah, what? I just did a search for comedy podcasts, and it was really funny.
And Kevin and Bean came up? But Kevin and Bean came up in comedy?
Yeah.
Wow.
It does seem
weird,
like
we were
misplaced in the iTunes podcast store, it sounds like. So how long have you been listening?
Since 2008.
And what do you do in Delaware?
I work as a paralegal.
Mm-hmm. And you love living? You love living there?
Not really.
Okay.
It's cold. It's really cold. And luckily, we're close to Philadelphia and like D.C. and New York. It's only a couple hours away.
All right. So if you need some big city excitement, you've got a place you can get to.
Yeah.
And you got beautiful beaches out there too.
Yeah, they're not bad. It's like an hour away, so it's really not bad.
All right. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. A little Delaware update from one of our listeners.
It's
I appreciate it. Christina, spring is eventually going to be here, so just hang on in there, baby. But thank you so much for the call. We'll take a quick break, come back with more of the Kevin and Bean Show right after this on K-Rock. What's good? Whatever the problem is between you kids, just get back together, Rage Against the Machine. Please. Who's with me?
Well, maybe they'll do what you told them.
I mean, that's got to be near the top of bands that I wish had not broken up, is Rage Against the Machine. So great. All right, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday morning. We'll catch up with Dr. Drew coming up just after 9, but first,
I have to give all the credit in the world to a site that I was unfamiliar with until yesterday. They are called The Lead Sports. TheLeadSports.com is their website, and they broke a story that instantly went viral, and you'll find out why when the short version is explained to you, that a guy, a lifelong Lakers fan who wanted to see Kobe Bryant play in his last game in April, bought tickets last November for that game against the Jazz, long before Kobe announced he was retiring and that that would in fact be his last game. He bought these tickets through StubHub, and then he came to find out that StubHub rejected his order. After they were already paid for and they were his tickets, StubHub came to him and said, "No, no tickets for you, my friend." And people just went ballistic over the man trying to squash Jesse Sandler. And Jesse Sandler, I think, is getting the last laugh on this. But let's find out what's been going on as we welcome him to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Jesse, how are you, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great. Thank you so much for coming on with us. What an unbelievable saga yesterday. And even you must have been surprised to see how fast it went worldwide.
Yeah, I mean, when we broke the story on The Lead, we were not expecting it to be this big. But, you know, people ran with it.
So well, I think there's a lot of built-in suspicion on sites that jack up the prices for tickets to the point where it's gotten that a lot of average fans feel like they can't even go to a concert anymore. They can't even go to a sporting event anymore because these people like StubHub have all the tickets and they price them crazy. But your situation was a little different in that you paid what you thought was a reasonable price for them back in November, and then things went wrong for you.
Yeah, totally. I paid $195 a ticket. Which is still pretty expensive for a Lakers Jazz game. But I bought the tickets thinking that I was going to be going to potentially Kobe's last game. A couple weeks later, he announced his retirement. And then several weeks after that, I got an email from StubHub saying, "Sorry, we can't fulfill your order."
And it was all detailed. I mean, you kept all sorts of receipts and messages and everything else from the back and forth that you had. But you basically argued with them and said, "Look, we had a deal. We made a transaction. I gave you my money. You gave me the tickets. How can this be falling apart?" And what was the answer that they gave you time and time again, Jesse?
The answer was, you know, this is just a marketplace. Sometimes the sellers can't do that, can't fulfill the ticket order, and that's what happens. And it just was not sufficient, not a sufficient answer for me.
I mean,
I feel like if I bought a car and then a couple weeks later they came back and said, "Sorry, it's not your car anymore."
Yeah, and I didn't know that this was something that could happen, that obviously you don't have the ticket in your hand. But there are times now that I'm hearing about even people that have the ticket, they go and scan it and the buyer has taken those tickets away.
Yeah.
This is happening. What is going on?
I have no idea, and that's one of the reasons that I contacted Tim Livingston at The Lead. I just wanted to make sure that not only were we going to be able to potentially get some tickets to this game, but I wanted to shed light on this so this doesn't happen again.
Maybe they closed that loophole forever.
I don't think that they did, considering that, you know, minutes after this story posted yesterday, I got a phone call from StubHub trying to clean up the mess.
Sure.
But didn't they have 20 other opportunities to clean up the mess before you went public with it?
Yeah. I was on the phone with them for hours.
For hours?
And hours, and multiple emails, and they you know, threw me a few $100 there and a $50 voucher there, and it just didn't even amount to one ticket.
And they kept saying that their hands are tied. It's not their fault. It's the seller's fault, essentially.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And how do they justify that? I mean, so it seems to me that StubHub could have a policy that would prevent this from happening. It could be completely in their hands.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's the hope. The hope is that they change their policy so this doesn't happen again. I mean, the outpouring of support that we've got from this article has been amazing. I mean, there's so many people out there that this has happened to. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it takes something like this for you know, a big corporation to see that the customers care about it enough to make a stink. But it's time for a change.
Has anyone suggested to you, Jesse, or have you learned in your research whether or not this is somehow illegal what StubHub did to you?
People have thrown that word around, and I don't know if it is or not. I'm not a lawyer. I haven't really talked to an attorney about this, and I'm not quite sure. I mean, there's a lot of fine print. It seems like fraud to me.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. It does. I mean, there's a lot of fine print in their stuff about policy. So who knows what kind of loophole.
Well, here's the thing with Jesse, too. You did everything that my parents always said. Like, when you talk to someone, write down their name. When you do that, write down. You, if you go to theleadsports.com, you see email after email. Then I talk to this person, a voicemail, everything. You did everything right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wanted to make sure that we could get this out there.
Yeah.
And you know the Lead Sports is great. They're a daily newsletter, mm-hmm. and they have such a great tone that when he contacted me, I couldn't turn down the offer.
All right, where are we now? You said StubHub contacted you, tried to clean this up. Did they in fact offer you your tickets back or other tickets to that game?
So I got a phone call yesterday morning, right before I got into work, and the woman I spoke to said that she wanted to talk to me about where I wanted to sit at the game. And that they made a mistake and that usually they are able to fulfill the ticket order, but something happened with this one, which I'm not sure if I completely buy.
Yeah, because people are saying it happened with Jeter's last game.
Yeah. I mean, and if that was really their policy, then they would have fixed it when I first called.
Right.
Right. You know? Exactly. So they did offer you tickets then. And what was your response to them, Jesse?
I hadn't called them back. And then a company in Kansas City called Tickets for Less contacted me, and they are actually flying out here this morning.
Their president, Dan Rowan, is flying out from Kansas City to hand deliver you the tickets. Because I saw the comment in the comment section, hey, we're trying to get a hold of you. We're Tickets for Less. And I was like, no way. So I tweeted them and I said, is this legit? And the guy's like, absolutely. And I thought, all right, you just got everyone's business that's reading this. Brilliant. Yep.
So he's I think wheels are down 10 minutes ago.
Oh, awesome. That's great.
He's on his way.
All right. Is Tickets for Less, do they sell tickets to Southern California sporting events?
It's nationwide.
So that's somebody we could use instead of StubHub then.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you should have seen it last night. Budweiser tweeted out they were looking for me, and they had four tickets for me. And I mean, the amount of support has been crazy. This whole thing it's great to be going to the game and getting tickets to go to the game because I'm a lifelong Lakers fan. Love Kobe Bryant. This was more about being able to shed some light on this.
Yeah.
And the fact that we're able to do it is awesome.
What if the Lakers reach out and say you can coach his last game? What if?
I think we might win the game.
In fact, I was a
basketball coach several years ago, middle school boys basketball coach.
Oh, I think you're more than qualified then. And, absolutely.
And with all the tickets that people are saying that they have for me and stuff, I think something that would be awesome is if we could get a few kids that can't go to the game to the game.
Jesse, are you single?
I'm not single, actually. Well, this has been the craziest week ever. I proposed to my girlfriend last Friday.
Congratulations.
I'm now engaged. Yeah.
What a crazy week you're having.
Yeah, it's been crazy. It's been awesome.
Well, a lot of people, you know, obviously were pulling for you when they saw the story break online yesterday because you do represent so many of us who have had so many bad experiences, not just buying tickets to events, but just with big companies that don't care and think they can get away with screwing over their customers without anyone ever finding out about it. And that's why I'm so glad that you and theleadsports.com broke the news on this. And Tickets for Less, ladies and gentlemen, that's where you want to go if you want to buy tickets to anything. They are the real heroes here, along with our friend Jesse Sandler. Thanks so much for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Have a great time at Kobe's last game, man. We really enjoyed
talking to you. Thank you guys so much. Take care.
Bye-bye. I think that's the type of story that is big enough that it's really going to hurt StubHub, by the way.
Yes.
Yes,
for
sure.
I think people are going to think twice before they buy resale tickets through that company now that they've seen how they treat their customers.
They make so much profit. Such a huge markup on those tickets when they resell. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have to, once in a while, eat it, you know?
Yeah.
And they're not even losing money, obviously, on those tickets.
Yeah, they're still making money.
They're not making enough profit.
Right.
That's what they're saying. That's how greedy they're being.
Well, I have bookmarked Tickets for Less.
Yeah, sounds like a good organization. Thanks again to Jesse for coming on and theleadsports.com as well for breaking the story. Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Thursday morning. Then we catch up with Dr. Drew like we do. What's going on, Ralph?
Not for nothing. I just want to give this shout out. I'm not getting paid for this. This isn't any kind of endorsement. It's just who I use. But I've always had good luck with Vivid tickets. I don't know if you ever use them or not.
I know. Vivid movies are some of my favorites.
No, that's a very different thing, you slattern.
But you've also had good luck with Vivid Film.
Vivid
though,
Girls.
Right?
A couple of Vivid Girls, actually.
Oh,
too,
that's
actually.
What I think.
But Vivid, VividTickets.com. Yeah, they've always been good to me. All right, let's talk show business news. Janet Jackson, this is scary. According to TMZ.com, she may have throat cancer.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah, doctors found a tumor on her vocal cords, this is according to TMZ.com. Yesterday, however, Janet says she doesn't have cancer. And she posted a personal message saying that she was recovering and that doctors have approved her concerts as scheduled in Europe. So she is trying to quell the rumors. The rumors are untrue. I do not have cancer.
Hmm.
And she will be back singing healthy as ever, she claims. So it's been a lot of talk about that this week, but apparently all is well.
Yeah, it did seem awfully sudden when she canceled that string of shows for medical reasons. We were all obviously very concerned, so I hope she gets well.
More medical news in the world of show business. Robert Kardashian, Rob Kardashian, mm-hmm. not only has a bitchin' designer sock line, but has diabetes as well.
Oh.
But here's the upside. Never let it be said that mom couldn't turn a medical disaster into a profit. TMZ is also reporting that he has been offered a gig to be a spokesperson for 5-Hour Diabetic, a company that creates meal plans for people with type 2 diabetes.
Of course.
They're willing to put up some profit sharing and a lifetime membership in exchange for his being a spokesperson.
I'm going to ask you another...
impossible deep, to answer question?
Yes, another deep background question on a story about which you've already shared with us every single detail you know.
Great.
But
good.
I'm going to assume that you've got deep background on it and can answer my detailed and unimportant question. And that is, TMZ reported that he went to the... It sounded like over the holidays they posted that they took him to the emergency room upon him getting diabetes. Like, this wasn't just a thing where he went in for a physical. They said, oh, you got diabetes. You got to watch your diet. Like, something bad happened, and he ended up in the hospital as a result of, some sort of a crash or something. Do you know anything about that, Ralph?
No, I don't.
Okay, good.
Well, I assume if you've had type 2 diabetes for a while and you don't know it and it's untreated, you're going to have a huge crash because of your body's not using that insulin properly. So you could die.
And that's how he found out, as he got he collapsed or fainted or you know, felt bad, and they took him to the hospital.
Yeah, I feel bad.
Wait a minute. You mean he felt bad? That's why he went to the hospital? That's rare. Who would
perhaps
do that?
I'm just guessing.
I go to the emergency room, right? I feel perfectly healthy.
Oh, my God, such a good hair day. Who wants to go to the hospital?
Sometimes I'm cruising by, and I'll say, look, the emergency room looks unexpectedly empty today. I'm going to take advantage. Just go in there and just see what's what.
I would like to withdraw the question all of my further follow-up comments.
I just want to clarify. Rob Kardashian may have gone to the emergency room because he felt bad.
Huh, yeah.
Okay. See, you don't get that kind of news anywhere else.
Take.
Only here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You son
I feel
of
like
bitch.
I contribute a lot to this.
Do
this
you
segment.
Think that? I think you think that. That's the problem. I think you think that. Instead of realizing what a speed bump you are in the parking garage of the Showbiz Beat, you think you're actually helping things along.
Well, this is uncomfortable.
Mm.
Yeah.
For who?
George Takei's Broadway musical, Allegiance, is closing. For those of you unfamiliar with it, it is a musical that was written based on his experiences with his family during World War II in a Japanese internment camp here in California. It's not funny, George. It was a blight. It's a black eye in American history. It will give its final performance on February the 14th. And what's this Valentine's Day more than a musical about Japanese internment camps, really?
Man cannon.
Or a man cannon. It has only given 113 regular performances, but apparently not doing well enough to sustain, so it will be closing. But producers say a national tour is in the works, along with an international production. This ain't going anywhere, folks.
Huh.
We're going to be watching Allegiance forever. Soon Fox will do live Allegiance with all teeny boppers from the CW network.
So people didn't want to see it in New York, but
right,
maybe they'll want to see it in other states.
They may be
other
starved
states
for entertainment in other locales.
Okay.
Say producers are desperate to earn their money back. George himself has performed on the Broadway version. I remember that one love song he sang. Remember how it went?
Just how great is Male Ass? Certainly Male Ass is good times.
Hmm. It's not what I was expecting at all.
I was expecting maybe some singing.
I was too.
What was that?
I never thought I'd say these words, but I miss Kevin.
What's up, Chip?
So in the machine,
right?
It's labeled male ass good,
right?
Which okay. is exactly what we were asking for.
What mm-hmm. that song was about, that yeah. George Takei sang.
How great is male ass?
I think that was the that's what we were expecting. Wow. That song right there. All right, hey, listen. Saturday night at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I are doing our first Hollywood Babylon of the new year.
No.
We'd love to have you come join us. We have a good time.
No.
And usually when I go to play some audio, it's the actual audio that I intend to play.
Yeah. Really?
It's
very different from your day job.
Very different. Huh. It's an experiment, but we find that it works for
it's
us.
Weird.
Come see Hollywood Babylon. Go to improv.com to get your tickets for this Saturday night show. We're gonna
No.
That lady won't be there.
This is not tight.
Lindsay Fonseca kicks off the celebrity birthday today. The lovely and talented Lindsay is 29 years old today. I believe she's coming back for the second season of Agent Carter,
all right.
unlike some people. Lauren Cohen is 34. Brett Dalton from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Grant Ward, that Hydra bastard, he's 34 years old as well. Dustin Diamond and Screech from Saved by the Bell is 39. Jeremy Renner, Hawkeye, 45 years old. Nicolas Cage is 52. Katie Couric is 59 years old today. And actor David Caruso celebrates his 60th birthday today. I guess that means when he goes to work today, he'll be wearing his birthday suit. Yeah!
And the fact that you lowered your glasses
well,
when
yeah,
you did it.
You gotta do that.
Yeah, it's magic.
Hmm.
Come on, Rodney!
Oh, come on!
You gotta play me like that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ, and we thank you for that. Allie, you know Dr. Drew, right?
I've heard of him, yeah.
He, the one who impregnates all those teen moms mm-hmm. on MTV. He's the host of Loveline along with Mike Catherwood here
yes.
on K-Rock. Of course, he's got the HLN show, uh-huh. Dr. Drew, Monday, Thursday nights at 6. You mm-hmm. can hear him weekday afternoons on KABC. He's got a fine family of podcasts at drdrew.com and podcast1.com. Yet he still has time to watch 10 hours of Making a Murderer on Netflix and become obsessed with it like the rest of the world. Dr. Drew is just like us. That's what I'm telling you guys.
I like it.
Hey, Doc. Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year, Bean. Good to see you. Allie, how's your pupil?
I just said to them, have we talked to Drew since he told me I was going to die?
No, we've not spoken. But we had fun at the Acoustic Christmas, Allie and I.
Yes, we were very concerned that you looked her in the face and said she wasn't going to make it to New Year's. But thank God you were wrong about that. She seems to be doing fine, Doc.
Good, excellent. Yeah.
All right, Making a Murderer. I know you've been talking about it on the HLN show. You are as obsessed as we are. Where do we even start with this? For folks who don't know the case, Dr. Drew, give them a quick overview of why America is talking about Stephen Avery in jail in Wisconsin.
It's a 10-part documentary that chronicles the story of this guy who was released from prison after 18 years, wrongfully accused of a rape, then becomes embroiled in this second case, or a case of a photographer vanishes on the grounds of his family's auto reclamation lot, and the evidence against him is damning, and now he's back in prison again, and he weaves in his nephew, who is an interesting character, who allegedly confesses to having assisted him in this crime, and now it looks like the nephew may have been coerced into that admission, and now the evidence and all the way the evidence is collected against the Steve Avery guy is very suspect and has everybody up in arms. And now people are advocating presidential pardons. People want to kill me for suggesting, if I suggest for a second that perhaps this man is guilty. People get very worked up about this case.
And just to put this in, he was in the process of suing local officials for $36 million because of the wrongful conviction shortly after he was possibly framed,
right.
Possible police conspiracy, all of that. So that's a big part.
Yes, Allie goes right to the mat with this.
I do. I'm dead serious about this.
And there are an awful lot of angles, too, to this when you watch this, because it's not the kind of person that most of us sit in our living rooms and watch and want to root for. He's mm-hmm. a guy – well, Dr. Drew, you tell me you're better at analyzing people than I am. I mean, he appears to have some mental incapacity. Is that unfair?
Well, no. His IQ is 70, as is his nephew's IQ, but – being cognitively impaired, meaning you know not intellectually gifted, let's say, is no reason for this guy to, you know, go to jail for murder. The problem is, here's the problem I have with the case. A, people are literally, I mean, they're campaigning. They're spending their days campaigning for this guy based on a documentary that is meant to do nothing except keep you watching and get you talking. That's it. That's what the job of that
well, why don't we let me stop you right there, Doctor, and tell me, have you had these ladies, Laura Ricciardo and Maura Demos? They're a filmmaker and a lawyer who spent years of their life putting this documentary together. Do you have any reason to suspect that they've got an axe to grind with this, or are they trying to present something that is as fair as possible?
I don't know about fair as possible. They say it's fair, and yet you can see there was tremendous amounts of information left out. And including the prosecution itself was never interviewed because they didn't want to be a part of it, so they just sort of closed them out. But listen, they had a job to do, which is make a documentary. They made a great documentary. That's their job, not present a fair trial, not to have this man. Nothing. Their job was to create a compelling documentary. That's their job, a television show. So everybody, when you draw your conclusions, just remember you're watching a television show, not a court proceeding. Part of the television show includes a court proceeding. You are watching a television show. So, and the television show presents some troubling material. That's number one. Number two, you're watching a television show about a psychopath. This man, let's not forget, he took the family cat, doused it in gasoline, and threw it in a fire, and was convicted of animal cruelty. God only knows how many other animal cruelty acts this man committed, but he was finally convicted. And, you know, people hear about that, they go, oh, well, yeah, it's bad. That's bad. He was, you know, probably a kid, didn't know what he was doing. He was 20. He was 20 when he did that. He was an adult lighting a cat on fire and roasting it. Those are two of the three markers for psychopathy. And his entire life, year after year, there's case after case of him being involved in sexual assault, harassment, problems, assaulting women. And this is stuff was not a documentary. Just before this woman was killed, he is known to have purchased ropes and shackles, as was described by the nephew. He alleged it was for his girlfriend, as is the custom, everybody. He stimulated himself in front of his cousin and drove her off a road. He attacked another woman. I mean, there's just case after case of trouble with this guy, which is why at the end of the whole documentary, the judge announces, you know, you've got a lifelong pattern of trouble and it's getting worse. And it seems to come out of nowhere because the documentary hasn't presented that material.
Well, they presented the stuff with the cousin at the beginning, and that's what set everything kind of in motion, because who is the cousin married to? A sheriff in the town.
So what, she's lying?
No, I'm just saying that's what set everything off with, oh, well, they all of a sudden he's up for this rape, and nobody kind of checked into that, and then he's in jail for 18 years.
Well, you're right, and as vehemently as I'm sort of presenting the other side, there's real problems with this case. Really, that's what got everybody excited. And I'm just saying, everybody, just calm down and realize.
I will not calm down. I mean, what?
But Dr. Drew, look, you live in America. You talk to a lot of people who make up their mind based on guilt or innocence, based on somebody's race. I mean, people don't need very many facts to draw a conclusion these days on who done it. You know that.
Well, I know that, and I'm saddened by that. And that's the same reason I'm saying, everybody, Use your indoor voices. Think about this. A jury found this guy guilty. Multiple attempts at appeal were unsuccessful. There's got to be some reason for that.
Did you hear what happened yesterday?
Tell me.
My friend works for CNN. She interviewed the two filmmakers yesterday. They were approached by a juror in November, a full month before the documentary came out, and the juror said, I know he was guilty. It was not guilty, and I've been sitting with this, and every single day I think about it. And the filmmaker said, well, what the hell went on in that jury room? Why? How did you come to the guilty conclusion? And the juror said, we feared for our safety.
Well,
what?
There's even more. There's even more. Apparently, the original sort of distribution of opinions about guilt in the jury deliberation chamber was three guilty and the remainder not guilty or neutral, and a bunch of horse trading went on in there that resulted in the jury coming to a guilty verdict. Now, by the way, he didn't get the – you notice how he didn't get the dismemberment or whatever mistreatment of a corpse?
Yes.
And then the nephew got that? So the nephew actually got worse – probably was found guilty of more than the uncle. And this is the more horrible part of this whole case. that kid with, again, an IQ of 70 and some sort of autistic spectrum disorder or schizophrenia, they have severe mental health issues, clearly, was, well, this is the case that bothered me, was coerced.
Oh, beyond.
Into, oh, yeah, beyond, yeah. Right. By his, without his attorney, without his, it was, the kid, at the end of his first sort of interview, after he admitted to horrible things, he goes, all right, are we done here? Can I get back to class? I have a test. Because he didn't even understand what he had just said. He's
hey, I was willing to confess to the murder just watching the show. It was so
right?
intense.
Get out of that room.
On. Yeah, just to get out of that room. Ugh. Just to get that guy to stop talking to me. Dr. Drew, one of the reasons I think people are
real
so...
quick, before you do, yes, what I yes. find so interesting is that, so here we are, I'm sort of on the fence on these various things. And yet, I am getting hate mail every day. Just for.
Well, having... I'll stop emailing. But I mean.
But I mean, think about it. Just for going. This guy's kind of a bad dude, and I think he's guilty. But yeah, the system was bad. How dare you? I mean, just to sit and think about it, people are that upset about it. Anyway, finish me.
Well, I mean, I think I'm speaking to your same point, which is I think people have an inherent distrust of the police and distrust of the legal system. And I think that's why a lot of people are rallying around a really bad dude, as you pointed out, for many reasons. Most of us would not want to be friends with Stephen Avery, but we feel like he is more sympathetic to us than the system, which many of us believe is corrupt. And I think that's a lot of what is fueling the passion for this story.
You said it with remarkable clarity, and I will just say on the other side of that, something I said when I closed my HLN show yesterday is that, look, this guy is a bad guy, as you say. We have the best system in the world. It really does function for the most part. The vast majority of our law enforcement officials are not bad guys. Some of this is maybe just shoddy police work in the outback of Wisconsin. It's not okay. We have a right to be upset, but let's calm down, everybody.
Well, I mean, I think that's a good message. And I also think let's always remember that no system is going to be perfect as long as it is run by human beings, because human beings have bias, they have prejudice, they make mistakes. They, as you say, they do get sloppy. So as long as humans are running things, some things are going to fall through the cracks.
And maybe at the very least, somebody that just threw that serving for jury duty notice in the trash is actually going to go, oh, wait, maybe I should actually
two things.
Do this.
A, not me. Allie, who stole Bean's brain during the holidays?
I know. Things are happening. It's weird. It's real weird.
I don't know him.
Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood co-host Loveline together, and it's delightful Sunday through Thursday nights at 10 right here on K-Rock. Of course, you can hear them together and apart afternoons on KABC AM 790. And Dr. Drew on HLN is an excellent, always fun show with lots of supermodels surrounding the doctor Monday through Thursday nights at 6. Happy New Year once again, Doc. Great to have you on. We'll talk again soon, sir.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Hey, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. But first, Ralph, if you'll give me 15 seconds.
Go, boy.
A great day of family motorsports is coming to Angel Stadium on January the 16th. We're talking Monster Jam. How's that sound? Tickets available now through Ticketmaster.com, and you can win them from the Kevin and Bean Show if you call us at 1-800-520-1067. Callers 10, 11, and 12 right now. Monster Jam at Angel Stadium. What is new in showbiz, my friend?
Well, you know, the new thing now is to not only revisit classic franchises, but to split off the stars of those franchises, the characters from those franchises, and give them solo films.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Han Solo, for example, from Star Wars. Boba Fett, another example.
Yeah, why make one movie if you can make five movies?
Right. So now it's happening a lot of franchises, a lot of storied cinematic characters are getting their own split-off films. Do we need a Cruella de Vil solo film?
We do not.
Cruella de Vil, for those of you who aren't familiar, and who isn't? Who hasn't seen 101 Dalmatians, either the classic Disney animated film or the rebooted live-action films? Glenn Close played the character in those films. Looks like they're going to make a solo standalone Cruella movie. Cruella. She's not just after Dalmatians this time. Now she's taking on Mr. Pickles.
Oh, go Cruella.
That seems... Look, anything can be good if you get the right people.
Right.
But it doesn't seem necessary. I don't think there's anyone out there demanding it.
What if I said Emma Stone would play Cruella de Vil?
Well, I mean, I do like looking at Emma Stone.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm in.
All right. I mean, look, Dory has a spinoff movie. I mean, you're right. That's the thing.
If Cruella needs someone to be cruel to, if it's Emma Stone, tie me down, right?
Right.
Get out that cigarette holder and just go for it.
All right.
I don't even know what that means.
Nope.
Just sounds move filthy. On.
50 Shades of Crazy.
You know anything about me, you know I love anthology television. I was thinking about it over the New Year's Day weekend holiday time span. And they had, as they always do, the Twilight Zone Marathon.
Oh, yeah.
I believe they played them in sequential order this mm-hmm. time around. What a great series that was.
What a great series that was.
That's what I just said.
That is what I just said.
And also I loved Outer Limits.
Sure.
And Amazing Stories. Spielberg's attempt at that in the 80s that they're bringing back. I think there's plenty of room in television for anthology television. I think it's great. Every week you get a new story. You get a new cast. It's a great opportunity for writers and directors and actors to hone their craft, give people breaks. That's how Steven Spielberg had his break. Working on Night Gallery, Rod Serling's Night Gallery. So I was very happy to see that Tales from the Crypt is being rebooted. A new version of the HBO late night anthology series will be airing on TNT. I was very excited to hear that news. And then I kept reading the story. And it turns out that M. Night Shyamalan will be in charge of the series. Man. And here's the twist. I'm not watching.
Look, the first 52 minutes of every episode are going to be great.
Yeah. I don't trust him. I just don't trust him.
No.
That wayward pine sucked me in with that. Mm. So, take that for what it's worth. People's Choice Awards were given out last night. People saying, you're not talking about the People's Choice Awards. It's because there's never been a less meaningful award given out to anyone than the People's Choice Awards. It's just dumb. There's dumb awards.
I agree. And even with the star power involved, and even with a microphone crasher, still don't care.
So real quick recap, all you need to know is Furious 7 was named the best movie of the year. That's all you need to know. Furious 7.
Right.
Dumb.
I want a good movie.
Although they did name Supergirl a best new series. Boy, I love that show. I'm enjoying the heck out of that show.
Occasionally, the public is right.
Once in a while.
But we still shouldn't care what the public thinks.
Right, exactly. That's my point. While we're talking television, Jennifer Lopez's new show debuts tonight. I want to give you a heads up if you're interested in checking out Shades of Blue. Come on. Damn it, Bean. Watch it. Watch it. And then you can play your game show buzzer.
Is there any chance it's good?
Yes.
Jennifer Ray Lopez Liotta. As a cop.
Yes. Look, there's been plenty of attractive movie and TV cops
in history.
But
the fact that he cannot separate the fact that she's hot and can possibly be a cop, that's on you, Bean.
No,
yeah, that is on you.
That is on you.
How about Sicario, where Emily Blunt was smoking hot?
Look, there are lots of attractive FBI agent who are good actors who can play police officers.
And there's a lot of attractive female cops on television. This isn't a new phenomenon. How about Mariska Hargitay, for years, has been playing one over in Law & Order.
Again,
SBU.
You missed the part of the sentence where I was talking about good actresses can play cops.
Yeah. Wow.
Look, if she's great in this role and she's picking up her 10th Emmy in a row for playing Code Blue or whatever it's called, then I will apologize. I'm just saying it's unlikely to be watched.
How about Out of Sight with George Clooney, the feature film where she played a cop?
She was hot then, right? She was hot and she was awesome. People
Weird.
Always bring that up. In my mind, she happened to be a cop. The linchpin of that movie wasn't her police work. It was her sexual chemistry with George Clooney. That was a romantic comedy. That's what that
how
was.
How about Ray Mother-Lovin' Liotta? Mm. How about him as a cop?
He's fantastic.
He co-stars in this series.
So I'm watching half the screen. That's what you're telling me.
Anyway, that's going to be on tonight. By the way, Ray Liotta guest starred on Modern Family last night. See the new Modern Family? That show, again, I've said this before, but I think we're all just so used to it being brilliant that no one really pays attention anymore. That's a mistake. That show is just so damn funny and brilliantly written and brilliantly executed and performed. Key was on from Key and Peele also last night, but in the Ray Liotta part, it was a storyline where the kids tried to take Uncle Mitch out for his birthday and do something he would enjoy. So they get a map of the stars' homes and they show up at Barbara Streisand's house. But it turns out now she hasn't lived there in, I don't know, years. And Ray Liotta now owns it.
Oh.
And he's like hosing down his driveway. And he's like, what? Why are you doing? Oh, the map. Yeah. You think they would change those? And so Mitch is happy anyway to meet Ray Liotta. And none of the kids know who Ray Liotta is. And he gets furious. It's like, really? It's Field of Dreams? Goodfellas? No, we're not that old, they said to Ray
That's
Liotta.
That's funny.
It was funny last night. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Lindsay Fonseca. The lovely and talented actress from Agent Carter. 29 years old today. She returns, I believe, in the second season of Agent Carter. I don't know if she does or not. I believe she does.
Where's Old Time Radio Boy?
Announcer Man does not return in season two of Agent Carter.
That is
I can
outrageous.
Confirm that. I have that on good authority that he does not reprise his role as the beloved radio announcer for the Captain America Adventure program.
Are they all listening to podcasts now? Is that what happened?
The kids today? No, it still takes place in the 40s, but
I believe
they moved the storyline to Hollywood for this season. And I believe radio being based in New York City, that they've opted not to do that.
Well, maybe Radio Man decides he wants to move to Hollywood and try
be
the
a
acting
movie star?
Game. Yes.
I'll be a movie star.
You're welcome, Agent Carter.
Lauren Cohen is 34 years old today. Brett Dalton. While we're talking about agents, he used to be an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now he's heading up Hydra, that bastard. Oh, he's the worst. Did you see? You don't watch, do you, B?
I don't.
I wish Kevin was here. Because the finale, the season, the winter finale.
Right? When they're like, ooh, pew, pew. And he's like, yeah, I'm not who you think I am.
You're making stuff up.
Yep.
It's great. Dustin Diamond's 39. Jeremy Renner. While we're talking things Marvel, he's Hawkeye, of course, from the Avengers.
Do you think it would be an interesting phone topic, Ralph? This is just off the top of my head.
Okay.
So talk to listeners who have celebrated a birthday in jail and find out what that's like.
Where is this coming
the hell?
From?
Dustin Diamond.
Just happened.
Oh, Dustin Diamond.
He's turning 39 behind
and
bars
serving
in
time
Wisconsin
for stabbing
right
a Jew.
I really thought there was no connection, and I liked that.
You just thought it was random.
I kind of liked it better.
I can't imagine being that anything happens when it's your birthday in jail. I don't think.
I just wonder if it's a time.
I don't think your cellmate gives you a cake.
I blow out this candle, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just wonder if it's a time where you really do take stock of your life at that point. I mean, is that a serious thinking holiday if you're turning 39 in jail in Wisconsin? Is he waking up going, I had it all. I was Screech. And then I stabbed...
He didn't have it all.
I stabbed someone on Christmas Day.
He hardly had it all.
What am I doing
with my life?
With his
claim to fame being Screech.
Well, I'm
He's not
saying.
Bernie Madoff, for F's sake. He was Screech. And now he's still Screech, but he's Screech in orange jumpsuits.
And what do you think it's like for him in jail, by the way? You think he gets any kind of special treatment for being TV Screech? Or do you?
Yeah, I'm sure all the brothers are just like, hold on, it's Screech. Here, you can have my dessert.
Wisconsin's a pretty white state. It's pretty possible he's got fans in there behind bars. All right, back to you. I withdraw the question.
He's not Zach.
By the way, I got a just-in celebrity death when you're done, Ralph.
Oh, you're not gonna slap down some Pat Harrington Jr., are you?
Oh, did you have that already?
Yeah, and I opted to not go with the big breaking Schneider from One Day at a Time story.
I think that's significant for a certain amount of people. Schneider!
Oh, with it, and he'd roll up his shirt, and he had all the keys.
Yes.
Back to you.
That's right.
He did.
That's why I didn't bring it up, because we just covered everything interesting about that character. He rolled up his shirt, and he had a lot of keys.
I thought it was worth a mention.
Can I move on?
Please.
Jeremy Renner's 45. Nicolas Cage is 52. Katie Couric. Oh, little Katie Couric. America loves Katie Couric. She's 59.
Not enough to keep her talk show on the air.
Well, no, not that much, but we love her anyway. And actor David Caruso is 60 years old today. 60 years old. Six decades of David Caruso. That's all.
That's it?
You guys were waiting for it, weren't
yes.
you?
Yes.
I like to throw you a curve now and then. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow will be an excellent Kevin and Bean show. Why do I say that? Because there's a lot of people who aren't us on it, including our friend Ashley Escada from CNET. She is at CES talking about all the new technology.
Smart bra.
New electronics, including the smart bra. We'll talk to Ashley about that. Also, TV Guide's Mike Schneider will be in studio talking about, among
other
things.
He rolls his sleeves up, and that's all those keys. I already just died.
No, different guy named Schneider.
Different
he's the editor of a TV Guide. He'll be in there with a preview of this weekend's Golden Globes, among other things. Also, RJ Bell on the program today. Help you get your NFL playoff picks in order. We got the movie beat, and we also have an intervention with a friend here at K-Rock. Somebody needs...
I'm not going into rehab if that's
not,
what you're
not you.
For.
It's not you. You're drinking at the exact right level, Ralph. This is somebody else who needs an intervention, and it's not about drinking. It's some business that we've got to take care of for an employee's wife. That's all tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.